Good afternoon and welcome. This is the hybrid special commission meeting of January 12, 2022, regarding alcohol hours of sale. During this special commission meeting, the City Commission is physically present in the commission chamber at Miami Beach City Hall. The public is encouraged to attend the meeting virtually. However, members of the public who wish to attend the meeting or provide public comment may appear at the commission chamber. While at City Hall, members of the public are required to wear facial coverings and observe social distancing consistent with CDC guidance to limit the spread of COVID-19. To participate or provide comment virtually during the special commission meeting, here's how you can do it. You can go to zoom.us or you can do it by telephone, and here are the numbers. So please get a pen if you're at home. 301-715-8592 or 888-475-4499. I'm going to repeat the last one, which is toll-free. 888-475-4499. Now, you need to know the webinar ID number. I'm going to say it twice, so please write it down. 813-928-5767, £1. I'll repeat it. 813-928-5767, £1. So if you want to speak virtually, although there's really not sure there's going to be a whole lot of public testimony today, but as always, when we have it, you simply hit the raise hand icon using the Zoom app or press star 9 on the telephone. So with that, I'd like to begin the meeting, and we're going to ask Mr. Art Deco Weekend 2022 to come up and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. I think you know who you are.
Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Daniel. You did that as well as anyone.
Should I?
Yep, stay up there and tell us a little bit about the weekend that begins Friday, I think.
Yes, first of all, thank you, commissioners, mayor, and commissioners. We're so excited to be here today to preview the brand new Art Deco Weekend poster for 2022, which you can see over to the right side. We have with us the poster artist, Sergei Serebrennikov. Our theme for this year is Art Deco Celebrates the Radio. And I think our Miami Beach residents probably can recognize that hotel, but to those who don't know, it is a Park Central, which is now known as the Gabriel, and just had a really great restoration. So we'll be doing a lot of our events across from the Gabriel, and we're very excited about that, as well as we'll have a kid zone with family activities for kids supporting Feinberg Fisher K through 8. And we'll have our classic car show, lectures, exhibits, walking tours, and more. I'm sure I forgot something. But you can all go to our website at artdecoweekend.com for a full list of all of the programs. And I just want to thank all the commissioners and the city staff and all the departments. I think I was counting today, it's about 400 people needed to put this all together when it's all said and done. And we really couldn't do it without the support of the city and without your funding for city services. So thank you very much for that. And if it's okay, we'd like to do the annual photo with the commission. And I'm going to invite up some of our board members who are here in attendance, including Jack Johnson, our chair, Julie Isaacson, David McKinney, Mitch Novak, and I think that's everyone here today, but we're just very thankful, and we can't wait to see you this weekend.
So. All right, let's go take the picture. We'll stay here. Let's get all... Come on. Freaks here. All right. I'm trying to get you to look better. Smiles are always attractive. All right. Thank you, Daniel, and all the MDPL for your hard work. My weather bug says it looks like it's going to be very nice. this weekend, sunny and in the 70s. That'll be great. Everybody should go there. It's a great event, and you really light up that area in a way it needs to be. So great. All right. Let's get to the this meeting, R9A. Let's call up R9A.
R9A is discussed the 2 a.m. termination of sale consumption of alcoholic beverages policy.
Okay. So let me sort of lay out the plan for this afternoon, this evening. I don't, there's not going to be a vote really. It's a discussion item, but I want to go over a little bit about, I'd like to put it in context if I can, and then I'm going to turn it over to the administration who has, who's sort of a prepared, I think, a pretty important presentation on what we're going to be doing. And I'll try to explain to you what I think is the path we need to go to. So for years, obviously, this commission in the city has been debating our when we should be ending sale and consumption of alcohol. It's really been a piece of a much broader discussion on sort of really parts of the business model of the city, specifically the model of a maybe a harder party area that many have believed is not consistent with the city's art and culture profile. But those debates have been going on for some time. Even before I was mayor, I think there was a petition that the voters resoundingly rejected, by the way, some years ago. But on this last election, on the ballot, was a straw poll that simply asked the voters whether, on a citywide basis, they wanted to roll back consumption hours to 2 a.m., with exceptions that we provide, but to 2 a.m. And I think that we're here today in this particular meeting to try to figure out how we're going to animate the will of the voters who told us that's what they want us to do. So for me, this is not going to be a question, I think for all of us, it's not a question of whether we do it, it's not a question of if we do it, it's a question of how we're going to do it. Because this last vote was about almost 57%, I think, and it wasn't as if the folks who were fighting against it didn't have their full say. They spent over $1 million to convince our voters that their business model was a model they should keep. And our voters, despite the fact that the people on the other side spent 10 or 20 times less, overwhelmingly went, or at least 57% is pretty significant, rejected it. So we really, I think it's incumbent on us to do something. I know we all don't agree. And I know even those that agree generally may not agree with specifics. So for me, what I'd like to do and the task from my perspective is to figure out our path to which we can find 4, 5, 6, or ideally 7 votes in agreement on how to implement what I think the voters clearly said we should be doing. And the process for that is one that I hope is fulsome and robust. And so the way it's going to work is the staff have put together models of different ways this could be implemented, from straight 2 a.m., with very few exceptions, a couple exceptions like hotels, different area accommodations, and even a method for perhaps adding some controls that might be necessary in some areas and not others. The point is, the reason why I asked them to do that is that it's important that we all are dealing with the same set of possibilities that have been vetted by our staff. I think it would be useless for us to sit here and vote on something or support something and then hear later that it's not a functional it's not a workable mousetrap, so to speak. So what you have and what was sent by Alina and her staff are all of those options, frankly, that have been vetted by her staff, and Tom is going to talk about them in a moment, that they've looked at. Legal's looked at them also. And so what my hope is we're going to do today is to take all of us, the 7 of us who have to make this decision, and first give the staff an opportunity to lay out all these different models of implementation so we understand them and explain what the rationale was so that we know what they are and we understand what they might be. And then to have us ask them questions about those models or others, about incarnations and iterations that we might be interested in, so that we all are fully aware and cognizant of the possibilities. And then among us, because we can only do this at a hearing, at a public hearing, talk a little bit about what our interests are and where we think we need to be. Because the difficulty here is bringing this in for a landing when there are 7 different ideas of the same thing. and possibly seven different iterations. So what my hope is that after we learn a little bit about that, and then after second part is we explore it with our staff, that we will have a discussion, a meaningful discussion, where we'll sort of talk about what each of us would like to see. And I would say this from the beginning. This is, and I'm sorry, Commissioner Samlin, if this offends you, but this you can say you like something and then later change your mind. It's not like chess, where once you take your hand off the thing, you're stuck with the move. Okay?
That's good.
You know where I was going on that, did you? Okay. But I think that's important because I suspect that after this meeting, you're going to hear from the public, as we have the whole time. Maybe you'll come up with something. Maybe you'll be informed in a different way, and you may come back and say, you know, I have a different view. That's fine, too. I think what's important is that we begin this process with a clear recognition that we do have a mandate to do something. So it's not a question of if, but how. But how we do it is very important. I don't think we want to make things worse, nor do I think we want to do things that are illusory, frankly, empiric and not substantive. So we're going to hear the ideas, then we're going to talk about the ideas with the staff, and then we're going to talk amongst ourselves to determine what kind of agreements there are. And I would really urge all of you to, if you agree that we need to do something, which I think we all have to really try to persuade each other about how we should do this, with the idea that at the next meeting, there will be an ordinance that somebody's going to introduce. And we're going to start looking at it, and we're going to start either voting for it or voting against it. There will be public hearings at those times that are fulsome and robust. I'll provide for a special amount of time for people to come in and have a full discussion, as they have, by the way, at numerous meetings on this topic, and as the public had on Election Day, by the way. But I think right now it's important for us to inform ourselves of the options and then talk with each other so we can see what kind of agreements there are, how many of us can get on a single island in this thing, and hopefully all of us can agree on how we're going to do it. So with that, I turn it over to Alina, our city manager, to take us through this process, and then I'll come back to all of you, and it'll be your process after they make their presentation.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and Honorable Commission, and Happy New Year to everyone. For the benefit of the record, I think it's important to just acknowledge, as we all know, and a bit repetitive, but on November 2nd, the voters of our city approved by a margin of 56.52% a straw ballot question that contemplates the changing of the hours for sale and consumption of alcoholic beverages. Currently, the universe is approximately 140 establishments licensed in our city to sell until 5 a.m. Our staff, together with our city attorney, have analyzed and proposed options that are before you today for review and consideration. These options are intended to be a starting point for a discussion. Each option contemplates exceptions as assumed in the ballot language and provides measurable, objective, and limited exclusions organized by degree of potential impact to each of our neighborhoods. Tom will lead the presentation, and others are prepared to answer any questions you may have. I think it's important that our city attorney set the legal framework within which we are operating, and I would ask that he be allowed to do that prior to Tom beginning his presentation. It's certainly our hope to listen to the discussion carefully today, and that at the conclusion of this evening that we'll have direction that would lead to drafting proposed legislation, but also allow us the ability to then look at the regulatory requirements that would be incorporated and be very clear about what those are so that they are transparent and legally enforceable. We've certainly all learned many lessons in the past couple of months relative to enforcement and our capabilities. So with that, I would ask that our city attorney set the legal framework within which we are operating, and then Tom will be prepared to walk us through the options.
Thank you, Madam Manager. So we are, as many of you know, we are currently in litigation over alcohol hours, and no matter what we do here with this proposed citywide regulation, we will most likely, if not definitively, be in litigation over that. And establishments will likely argue that they have some different claims for vested rights, and they'll raise different arguments. And there's a long line of cases that there are no vested rights when it comes to alcohol hours. And we'll deal with that at the appropriate time. It's important today for you all to maybe, and I would recommend, put aside any concerns about litigation for the moment and focus on what you'd like to envision and what you think this ordinance should look like and what's in the best interest of the city in terms of the policy issues. And we'll then work with staff to develop the appropriate record and to come back with the legislation and to advise you as to the specific litigation risk that any component of that may involve. So as to the Clevelander case that we're currently in litigation over, it's on appeal. It's fully briefed. We had oral argument in November, and the ordinance that was being appealed and being challenged was a pilot ordinance for the MXC, which expired on its terms on December 8th. So shortly after December 8th, the Clevelander filed a suggestion of mootness with the court. And based on that, there is a very clear possibility that the court may decline to rule on the merits. Given that we're still, though, it's still on appeal and we don't have a ruling, our recommendation, as stated in the memo, is that as a general matter, any new ordinance that is adopted, that we at least wait until the Third District Court of Appeal rules. And that could depend on the type of ordinance that you adopt, but that's what we've provided in the memo. That's the general framework, and I'm sure you'll have questions along the way, and I'm here as well as Nick Kalergis is at least remotely, and our outside counsel at Weiss Serota, Mitch Bierman and Ed Martos.
Thank you. Okay, Tom?
Okay, good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, members of the commission. As the manager indicated, the premise of these options was to facilitate a discussion, to seek policy direction, and this is meant to sort of guide that discussion. Very deliberately, we did not put this into ordinance format, and so hopefully at the conclusion of this meeting, we will have some direction that perhaps we could begin to formulate that type of legislation. The premise of the options, at least options 1 through 4, were predicated upon an across-the-board rollback to 2 a.m. for all establishments. And each option represents different forms of exceptions to that 2 a.m. rule. And as I go through them, you will see that each option starts to become broader. Option 1 is the most narrow, and by the time we get to option 3, that's clearly the most broad. Option 1 would be an exception to the 2 a.m. rule that would allow for 5 a.m. establishments within oceanfront hotels that have a minimum of 200 rooms. Currently, there are about 20 hotels in the city that would meet that. Now, that particular benchmark regarding the number of units has flexibility as well. So if that was to be increased, say, to 300 units, 350 units, 400 rooms, that would reduce the number of eligible properties. The rationale behind proposing this in option 1 is that these types of properties are, for the most part, very self-contained. Larger hotels have their own drop-off and pick-up within their property. They have parking within their property. All of the accessory uses are confined within the confines of the building and are typically accessed directly through the lobby, and so there's a lot more control. The proposal herein would apply to the indoor areas in terms of the exception, so any outdoor areas of the hotel property would have to cease operations selling alcohol at 2 a.m., and similarly, if you wanted a 5 a.m. exception, it would have to be with entities within the hotel that did not have direct separate access from the street, but you had to go through the lobby. Option number 2.
Yeah, just so everybody knows, as you go through, Tom, let's let Tom go through all of them, and then we'll ask questions. Give us a little bit of a signpost for each one, so when we ask you questions, we can say the number, or we can say the hotel exception number 1.
Okay.
So this is, let's call this the hotel exception.
Yeah, the oceanfront hotel exception, which is option 1. Option 2 builds upon option 1. It would include the oceanfront hotels in option 1, but would be expanded to include fully enclosed restaurants within commercial districts. And this would not apply to standalone bars or to standalone entertainment establishments, but those establishments that were licensed as a restaurant. And as part of this, we would need to further define what would constitute a restaurant to make sure that any entities that wanted to avail themselves of this 5 a.m. extension were truly restaurants and not an establishment masquerading as a restaurant. As is the case with option one, it would only apply to indoor portions of restaurants. It would not apply to any outdoor portion of a restaurant. And if there is going to be an entertainment component, then that entertainment would also need to seek it too. Conversely, if there was a desire to allow the entertainment to also exist in the restaurant past 2 a.m. up until 5 a.m., then we believe that there's certain additional physical benchmarks that should be considered, and these would include the installation of a hurricane-proof or soundproof glass, a double-door vestibule at all major entrance points, a security plan, and a requirement that there be no queuing on the sidewalk. So that's option two, which is the restaurant option.
So that's two is the restaurant option.
Correct.
The fully enclosed restaurant option.
Option number three builds upon options number one and two. It would include those venues that are permitted under options number one and number two, which are the oceanfront hotels in option one, the restaurants and commercial districts in option number two. Option number three would apply to fully enclosed bars, dance halls, and entertainment establishments. And those are the establishments that are not operating as restaurants, but are in fact full-time entertainment establishments or standalone bars. And we have approximately 38 such establishments citywide. As is the case with the other two options, this would apply to fully enclosed areas of these venues only. It would not apply to any outdoor areas of these venues. And because the properties do have entertainment, then they would potentially be required to comply with the minimum standards set forth regarding soundproof glass, double-door vestibule, a security plan, and no queuing on the sidewalk. Some additional considerations with regard to option number three would include a minimum distance separation requirement, and that is so that you do not have a proliferation of these types of uses within any given area of the city. Additionally, depending upon the type of use that it is, there may be a desire to require some type of street frontage requirement so that these types of uses don't become storefronts with black glass during the day and that they only open from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. Option number four would also include option number one, because option one has a fairly defined geographic boundary of oceanfront hotels. But option number four would be specific to three defined geographic areas of the city. And as is the case with any of these options, to the extent that these geographic boundaries wanted to be refined by the city or a commission, or it's the will of the commission to refine these geographic boundaries, we could certainly do that. But for purposes of this discussion, we've identified three geographic areas that we believe could successfully handle establishments with a 5 a.m. exception. And these would include establishments located along Washington Avenue from approximately 5th Street to 17th Street, establishments with an underlying zoning district of CD2 along Normandy Drive and 71st Street, and then lastly, establishments within the Collins Park area that are located roughly between 20th Street and 24th Street from Washington Avenue to Collins Avenue with an underlying zoning district of CD3. Again, because we envision these being placed in Chapter 6, we don't necessarily have to include the specific zoning district designations. We can create these geographic areas with specific boundaries in Chapter 6. These particular establishments would be fully enclosed establishments only, so whether you're an entertainment establishment or a restaurant or a bar, it would have to be fully enclosed in order to have a 5 a.m. exception. Outdoor areas would have to stop the sale of alcohol at 2 a.m. If entertainment is proposed with any of the establishments, the same rules with regard to soundproof glass, a double-door vestibule, a security plan, and no queuing on the sidewalk would apply. And then lastly, we do believe that if a geographic boundary option is chosen, that a minimum distance separation requirement would be paramount, because otherwise you might have a saturation of these types of uses within certain defined geographic boundaries. And so a distance separation requirement within the geographic boundaries would be important. The last option that we have discussed is what we're characterizing as the performance-based standards. And attached to the commission memo is a chart that was prepared by Weiss Sirota, who's outside counsel to the city. And they did some research regarding what similar-sized cities in the state of Florida have done with regard to alcohol regulations. And the purpose of this was not to take that and then turn it into an ordinance, but rather to facilitate discussion and to give the commission an idea of what other cities have done in terms of performance-based standards. A number of these may not be specific to Miami Beach, but a number of them may fit very well, and others may have to be tweaked in order to better fit the standards of what we would like to see on Miami Beach. We also believe that as an option, this could be used in concert with any of the four options that I've just discussed or a variation of that. They don't have to be just a standalone performance-based option. With that, that's essentially everything that we have come up with. If you have any specific questions about any of the options, I'd be happy to answer those either now or as part of your overall discussion.
So, first of all, thank you, Tom. And what so I'd like to do now is I'd like I'd open this up to commissioners. After, let's call this a sort of asking questions about these options period. After that, we'll get into sort of what you prefer, what you're thinking about, what you're opining on, what you'd want to see and what you're opposed to. But for now, I'd like you all to, if you have questions about these options or how they interact with each other, how they interact with the city code and things like that, I would be, well, I'll hear from you first. Are there any of you who'd like to be heard? Yeah. Commissioner Samuel, and you're recognized.
Thank you, Mayor. I have one question for city staff and then one for our city attorney. In terms of the performance-based option number five, it's correct that we could overlay number five with other options. That was my takeaway, but I just want to clarify, we could do option three with option five, option one with option five. Is that correct, Tom?
That's correct.
Okay, great. I listened carefully, as I always do, to our city attorney, and he told us to do what's right, what we think is right, and put legal considerations aside. Having heard that, I'm still going to ask him a question. And I guess what's running through my head is we need something that brings real change. We need something that sticks. So my question, Raphael, I would like to hear your opinion, you know, as it relates to these options, or what I would call the base case, which is a pure 2 a.m. rollback citywide, what do you believe is the most legally defensible?
Well, let me say it a different way. So our strongest position, our strongest authority would be to enact a uniform citywide rollback with no exceptions. In terms of the starting point for the analysis, that's your strongest position in terms of uniformity. That said, it is perfectly defensible also to, within the context of a citywide regulation, to enact specific regulations for specific geographic areas based on whatever findings you may make as to the needs in those geographic areas. But the starting point, the cleanest approach, is the citywide 2 a.m. That's not one of the options before you, but it legally, at least, that's the cleanest.
Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, who else wants to be heard? Commissioner Miner.
So in the memo, we talked about 140 establishments that are authorized to sell alcohol till 5 a.m. How many actually do so on a given day or week?
I'd probably say that most probably do, but there are a number of establishments that have a 5 a.m. license that don't serve alcohol until 5 a.m. But we've never really done a study of that because you'd literally have to go out to each establishment and see who's serving or who's open after 2 a.m. or after 1 a.m., and they may only serve alcohol until 5 a.m. on certain days. And so we don't have a hard number. If I had to guess, I'd say probably at least two-thirds serve alcohol until 5 a.m.
Okay. Thank you. One other question. Do we have a sort of like a heat map to see where those entities are?
No, the only map that we produced was we did produce a map that shows all 138 establishments, but we don't have a map that would show which ones definitely serve until 5 a.m. or not.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Rosen Gonzalez. You want to be? Go ahead. You recognize your series.
Okay,
of questions.
For Rafael. If we moved forward with no exemptions, but the ballot language did say a 2 a.m. rollback with exemptions, are those conditional use permits property rights, and would they all be grandfathered in, or how would that work?
So our starting position is there are no vested rights to alcohol hours. It is not a land development regulation to regulate alcohol hours. We will have claims, and there will be establishments that say that they're vested in their CUPs as to hours and even, you know, specifically as to alcohol hours, and we would have to deal with those as they come in. And we would recommend, depending on what you do in terms of the ordinance, that and we're thinking of maybe incorporating a claims procedure within the ordinance itself to permit us to process the claims, understand them, and be able to deal with them administratively to the extent that we can. But for sure, we will have the vested rights claims. People will say they have CUPs, and that would be one of the line of arguments that establishments may have.
Commissioner, anyone else? We'll go with Commissioner Areola, then we'll go to Commissioner Richardson, then we'll go to our far right over there.
You're going age before beauty? Is that what you're doing?
Actually, I was going. Yeah, I'm not even touching. I'm not touching it, my friend. It's too easy.
All right, man. I just got sort of a bunch of random sort of observations and thoughts, so I'll just sort of go. You know, where I'm leaning is, you know, I want to start small and then grow from there rather than go, you know, with a broad one-size-fits-all approach. Try to, you know, sort of target what seems to be our most intractable problems and try to address those problems with this solution, okay? So that's where I would start. I am concerned with our legal standing and ability to do certain things, and that will play out in the courts, and that will give us guidance. Another reason I want to start small, because I don't know whether we're going to be successful. So, you know, once we have more clarity, then I think we have more latitude or less, but at least we'll know which levers we can pull. You know, the other thing is I worry, and why I want to start small is, you know, what happens if this doesn't work? If the problem we're trying to solve, which are these unruly crowds that have become dangerous and embarrassing to us, you know, what if this solution doesn't work? Would we reverse it, or do we double down and go to midnight? Do we go to 10 p.m.? What are we prepared to do? I think we need to talk about that as well. I've always maintained that this is a tool in our toolkit, but I don't think this is going to be the silver bullet. I encourage us and have encouraged us for a long time to come up with additional plans that will run coterminous and adjacent to this proposed solution, everything from looking at our zoning laws to beefed up security and police enhancements, the use of technology for crowd control, and then also just putting additional requirements on businesses to make their establishments more secure. Because we saw what happened during COVID when we had the most extreme measures in place, which were curfews, sometimes as early as 8 p.m. More often there were 10 p.m. and 12 p.m., far more aggressive than the 2 a.m. And additionally, the bars and nightclubs were all closed. But yet we had these massive crowds of people misbehaving themselves. So why I'm very concerned that this is not going to work is we've already tried this, and it didn't work very well. you know, and it seems like a lot of the crowd that have been giving us problems aren't even going to bars and nightclubs. They seem to prefer to congregate in the streets, in their cars, in their hotel rooms, and liquor doesn't always seem to be their poison of choice. You know, they seem to enjoy other recreational activities to encourage them to misbehave. So, you know, at 2 a.m., liquor is, I'm not sure, the magic bullet. You know, the other thing to keep in mind is, you know, as we target bars and nightclubs and, you know, make them the boogeymen, they are an important part of our local economy. Not only are there a lot of jobs directly tied to these establishments, they're also part of an ecosystem that's very important to our city because they support hotels and restaurants and shopping, among other things. And so, you know, as we think about being restrictive towards these businesses, we got to think about the ancillary effects are going to have on other businesses that are very important to our economic ecosystem. You know, the other thing is, despite the problems that we've had with these crowds, people are still moving here and coming to vacation here. You see our resort taxes are sky high. They're better than 2019's numbers, so tourists are coming, and we all know what's happened to our real estate market here. So people are still coming to Miami Beach despite these unwelcome guests and the behavior that we're all trying to cure. You know, yet another point, not everybody works 9 to 5. People have different schedules, especially nowadays, people working remote from home. And so for some folks, the only time they get out of work is at midnight, 2 o'clock, and they want to do what a lot of us do is, you know, after work, grab a drink with a colleague. And so, you know, having these establishments open later than 2 a.m. Is something that some folks want that live in our community and the folks that come visit us. So one size does not fit all for them. What I would say, where I would lean, is we start small and then go from there. As a general principle, I don't think that establishments should have 5 a.m. as a privilege, as a right. That's a privilege. You know, I would lean going forward that if we start allowing businesses to open here that want to serve alcohol, that 2 a.m. is the new cutoff, okay? And that if they're going to go to 5 a.m., that we put in some safeguards so that we know that the businesses are well run, that there's security, that there's sound control measures, et cetera. You know, I know what our city attorney's advising us with respect to, you know, that there's no vested property rights, but I'm not sure that that is going to hold up in court. So I think we're going to be thinking about grandfathering in a whole lot of businesses. And if that's going to be the case, then we got to think about what are the parameters that we're going to have going forward for new businesses coming in to our city. You know, again, I want to also encourage us to be frank with our residents that this is not going to be the silver bullet that cures the problem we're trying to solve. This is one of the measures we're prepared to take. I think we have to get into a very robust discussion sooner rather than later on what else we're going to do. Because I think, you know, the path forward here is to encourage investment and redevelopment of certain areas that have just been overrun by a whole host of undesirable businesses. And you can, you know, pick and choose whether they're vape shops, massage parlors, tattoo parlors, T-shirt shops, liquor stores. I mean, we have certain areas of the city that are just totally overrun by nuisance businesses. And so we need to replace those nuisance businesses with desirable businesses that bring in kinds of crowds that know how to behave themselves, that spend money here, that support our local businesses, that upgrade, you know, our hotels and overall economy. And I think we need to start talking more seriously about those things sooner rather than later. So those are my thoughts.
Thank you. Commissioner Richardson, first of all, do you have questions about
and Mr. Mayor, may I just comment on what you just described, Commissioner Arriola, in terms of the baseline for a 2 a.m. and then establishing a framework for being eligible for extended hours to 5 a.m. That is in the option 5 that's in the book, along with many different options for conditions and criteria for what those establish, you know, for good behavior and what that might look like. So that's part of what's before you today.
You know, I've long maintained, long before I became a commissioner, we have to have some controls over the businesses that open here, nightclubs being one of them. I remember not that long ago the horrible embarrassment that the city faced, where our tourists were being ripped off because folks were opening up these fly-by-night nightclubs that were nothing more than fronts for defrauding, particularly male tourists that would come, and then they'd get drugged, and then people would run up their credit cards, right? And that was all mafia run, right? But they were able to open businesses and get liquor licenses and then just run these fraudulent businesses. We shouldn't allow businesses just to open up as of right without a vetting process, nightclubs being one of those things. But, you know, a lot of businesses open here that, to me, are highly suspicious. I don't know how they stay in business. I mean, I don't know how many luggage stores we need and cell phone repair shops and tattoo parlors. I mean, these things, despite the hard economic times we all went through, they seem to be going full steam. I wonder what's really going on in these places.
Thank you. Commissioner Richardson.
Yeah, I just have some questions, if I could.
Yeah. So I'm going to come back to everybody for comments. I'm hoping you figure out what the different mousetraps are and iterations, so you, okay?
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you. Tom, first question for you on option one. Fully enclosed venues within oceanfront hotels. I'm a little unclear what a venue is, and you say fully enclosed venues, so would the venue have to be fully enclosed within an enclosed hotel? What were you thinking there?
So by fully enclosed venues, what we were referring to, it could be a nightclub, it could be a bar, it could be a restaurant. Any type of establishment that wants to serve alcohol and serve alcohol past 2 a.m. And the venue, when we say fully enclosed, within the confines of the building. So it could be a hotel lobby. It could be a separate venue within a hotel. It could be on a mezzanine level, on a basement level. Some hotels may have a restaurant on a rooftop level. But as long as it's fully enclosed and does not contain any outdoor areas or the outdoor areas that are associated with that venue, like, say, a pool deck or an outdoor roof deck, they would have to cease the sale of alcohol by 2 a.m.
So can I continue, Mr.
Sure.
Mayor?
You recognize for a series of questions.
So assuming the hotel, then, is the venue, you're not saying that you would have to have a venue within that venue. You could have an establishment. As long as the venue, the hotel, is fully enclosed, then you could have a lobby bar.
Correct, because that lobby bar would be enclosed within the lobby of a hotel. So some hotels may have a lobby bar within their larger lobby, but then they have separate restaurants that you access separately. And a lot of these venues within the hotel are completely self-supportive. They'll have their own kitchen, their own restrooms, and that's what we were referring to. So it could be restaurants, it could be separate nightclubs, depending upon how many venues might be located within the hotel.
Okay, good. My next question has to do with indoor-outdoor, and maybe this is a legal question or maybe it's a land use question, and that is there any state law that is guiding on the serving or consumption of alcohol in an outdoor environment?
I don't believe so. I believe that we use the same rules and regulations for indoor and outdoor. Currently, for instance, we require that sidewalk cafes cease the sales of alcohol by 2 a.m. But I believe that the city does have the latitude to distinguish between indoor and outdoor. Rafael, correct me if I'm wrong.
And I agree with Tom. And I'm not aware of any restriction under state law to differentiate between indoor and outdoor. I think that may be a function of our own ordinances. The default rule under state law is that throughout the state, establishments have to terminate alcohol hours at midnight unless a municipality or a county authorizes expanded hours. So, that's the framework that we're operating in, and I'll take some notes here and be happy to research that, the outdoor question separately.
So the obvious, we do not have legal open carry in the city of Miami Beach. Is there a state law on open carry? So is open carry outside of venue, is that a state, is that guided by state law, do we know, or is it up to a municipality?
I think our own, and I could look at into state law, but our own ordinances prohibit, open contain. We have open container laws, so our own ordinances address that.
Okay. So one of the things that would be helpful, and I realize it's a very detailed question, and maybe you could do some research for me, is whether there's any guiding law, state law, that says about what an outdoor venue is. So whether or not there has to be a certain perimeter at a certain height and that sort of thing would just be informative for me. So, Tom, back on option one, there are about 20 existing hotels within this category that would be of this size. Do we know how many hotels would be excluded in this case? Let's say I know that you just threw out an example of, I think it was 200 rooms, the threshold could be 100 or whatever, but obviously setting that number, picks winners and losers, right? Do we know how many hotels would be excluded in this particular category?
I'd have to get back to you with that number, Commissioner, because what we would basically do is do a determination of the number of hotels that exist on oceanfront property. Most of the oceanfront hotels are larger, but there could be some hotels that have less than 200 rooms that are on the oceanfront, and so we might be adding another 10 or 20 hotels potentially, but I would need to get back to you with a firmer number.
Because the really question goes to, the winners and losers, right, in that perhaps a guest might say, I don't want to stay at your hotel anymore because I can't get a drink, but I'm going to stay across the street, right? So to the point on the oceanfront, why are we looking at oceanfront versus all hotels? There are obviously hotels on the water on the west side of South Beach. There are other hotels that don't share a body of water. So what is it about oceanfront that makes these different?
The reason that we chose oceanfront for purposes of discussion in this option is because oceanfront hotels tend to be the larger hotels in the city. And as I said in my presentation, the larger hotels typically have their own internal drop-off and pickup. They have their own parking. They're fully contained, and you don't have issues of queuing on the sidewalk. Also, with oceanfront hotels, their eastern boundary is the Atlantic Ocean, so they're not typically abutting lower-scale multifamily residential or single-family districts. To your point, there are other hotels within the city that are not solely oceanfront that are either on the bay or certainly they're landlocked. And if it's the will of the commission, we could certainly explore or include larger hotels, but just not necessarily larger hotels that happen to be oceanfront.
Okay. Thank you.
And Commissioner, I could address your outdoors. There are outdoor seating requirements as part of liquor license, applications and requirements, but nothing related to hours. And there's no definition of an outdoor establishment under state law. That would be within our discretion to define and certainly then to regulate as to hours.
Okay, thank you. The other thing, Tom, that. I did one night, maybe I was a little bored, as I took the map with all the precincts. There are 25 precincts in the city, right? And I kind of sketched out where all the votes came from the 56.52%, right? So, and it was really all over the board, right? So there, and I thought it was a really good exercise because it was very telling, the results of this election. You know, for example, the three precincts that overlay Ocean Drive, one of them voted 50-50. The other two voted slightly in favor of keeping the 5 a.m. South Beach as a whole pretty much voted in the 50-50 range. It was very, if you take all the precincts from South Beach, and I'm a numbers guy, I counted it all up, and it was very, very close. And then you go to an area like the Venetian Causeway, which was the largest percentage voting in favor of 2 a.m. It was over 70%. You go to Mid Beach. It was generally all those precincts were over 60%. Then you move to North Beach and the Normandy Golf Course area, clearly voting for 2 a.m., right? The commercial areas around the Normandy Fountain and the commercial districts, the precincts around 73rd and 75th and those, they were voting in the other direction to sort of keep the status quo. And so when I looked at this, I'm like, what is this telling me, right? Is it telling me that the people who live in those areas are living there because they want those types of establishments to be open until 5 a.m.? So in doing these options, did you or your staff look at where the votes came from around the city?
No, we did not look at any of the data that you were just referring to in terms of the precincts or where the votes were cast.
Okay. So, another question I had is on timing. So if this body were to implement something, have we thought about the timing of that? Because some of your options include things like, double vestibule doors and things like that, which may require getting permits and construction and everything, and that might be timely. So I don't have it, that may be too far down the line to think through, but have you thought about that?
We've discussed internally timing, and depending upon the direction given by the commission and the different options, we could come back to you with some timing. Some of the things that we've been talking about is perhaps beginning this at the beginning of the next fiscal year, which would be October of 2022. If the commission felt that a little bit more time was needed to give businesses the opportunity to be able to install some of these physical improvements, we could certainly do that. But we thought that it would be best to first get the policy direction in terms of what options, if any, the commission wants to move forward with, and then we could certainly come up with some timing options.
And, Commissioner, the BTR cycle is tied to the fiscal year. So that was the logic.
And it all depends on the options, because if you go with an extended license for establishments, if they have certain impact windows or double door vestibules, and they have to, you know, get plans and get building permits and you know, modify the establishments in order to be eligible to apply. So it really all depends on the direction that we receive.
To your comment, Madam Manager, the BTR is normally on a fiscal year basis. Is that set in stone, or is there flexibility that, if we were to look at timing, we could have a split year, if you will, or some option? Or
do we know? I don't know that it's tied to code. I think it would just require probably an extension of the current BTR.
That's fine, or proration of, you know, if you move to a different model, and you know, then prorate, you know, if folks that don't are not eligible for that 5 a.m. license.
Okay. I'm getting close, Mayor. Just indulge me a couple more. Did in developing these options, did the administration do any economic analysis to see what would be the fiscal impact to individual businesses or to the city, for example, resort taxes and things like that? Have we done any economic analysis?
No, we did not do any form of economic analysis as part of this.
Okay. Do you know, because I know that there's a lot of history because of all the great work that's been done here, do you know if other cities have done any economic analysis when they've changed the alcohol serving hours?
I'm not aware of any. If they did, I'm not aware of it. I don't know if our outside counsel is aware of that, but I'm not aware of what other cities may or may have done, may or may not have done in terms of an economic analysis.
Okay.
We didn't reach out to other municipalities. We, you know, sort of surveyed the various codes, and we were focused really more specifically on the framework for extended hours licenses and those jurisdictions that offer it.
Okay, great. And then one last question is, have you thought about how we might, as a body, do some public hearings or get input from the, I mean, this tonight we're doing discussion, is really not a public hearing, but have we thought about whether or not we're going to maybe do three public hearings, maybe one Mid-Beach, North Beach, South Beach, or how are we going to hear from the public on this?
That's certainly something that we can do. We've done that in the past with legislation. We've had town hall meetings in the different areas of the city, Mid, North, and South Beach. To the extent that the commission wants to schedule special meetings that are devoted solely to this item so that we can maximize public input, we could certainly do that. We can schedule anything at the will of the commission in that regard.
Thank you. That's my last question, Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you for those good questions. Commissioner Fernandez. And then we'll go to Commissioner Rosen-Gonzalez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. One of the questions that that was asked was about the applicability date of this and when that would occur. The answer was, I believe, possibly one option would be October of 2022. My question regarding that would be, if we adopt an ordinance, the ordinance, let's say, establishes criteria for exceptions, would the review and the consideration of those criteria for the exceptions be upon the date that we adopt the ordinance? Or when do those criteria start being taken into consideration to see if the establishment would be able to be exempt?
Well, and I can answer that. So in that option five, there's a host of different criteria and conditions that are available for you to consider. You could have criteria for the issuance of an initial permit, and then conduct-based, performance-based criteria and standards, which would really apply prospectively to maintain that permit, and the violations of those, whether it's security issues, police incidents, whatever the case may be, could give rise to either a suspension or a revocation, depending on how we define it and develop it. But you could have both. You could have criteria for issuance and then criteria that would be prospective.
Okay. Right now, we're dealing with a situation that we sent a straw ballot to the voters, and the voters voted 56.52% for it, with specific locations and related restrictions to be determined by us, by the City Commission. Those locations, we can determine those locations. Because I see on the memo, the locations that we have on the memo are specifically associated to specific zoning districts. Can we also say, you know, we want a hard stop indoors and outdoors at 2 a.m., for specific neighborhoods, you know, whether it be, you know, Sunset Harbor or 41st Street, can we tie it specifically to a neighborhood independent of a zoning district?
Yes, sir. That's the intent. If you do go that route, to address, you know, to define them by geographic areas, not by zoning districts, and then we'd need to develop a record for why you want to have specific regulations that are applicable to that specific geographic area. It could be, for example, that you have in residential areas a high concentration of residents, such that the conditions of that extended hours license may not be sufficient to address the adverse impacts. It could be that the flip side would be an over-concentration of bars in a particular district may lead to the same results. But you would need to make those findings, and we would have to develop that record.
Okay. And in option three, in the analysis that's presented by the administration, that's where we start incorporating minimum distance requirements. How would those minimum distance requirements, with the adoption of this ordinance, work with establishments that currently exist and are operating but may encroach each other within those distances?
What we've done in the past with, and this would also apply to the minimum distance separations that we've, distance separation requirements that we've identified in option four, any business that was existing as of a defined date would be grandfathered, because you're correct, it's very difficult to say, okay, two or three establishments are within 500 feet of each other, who's the winner there? So what we've done in the past is anybody that is existing as of the date of adoption or another date, they're good to stay there, and this would, the distance separations would essentially be prospective.
Okay. I believe we have a responsibility to our community to follow the will of the voters, and this is not, this is never going to be an easy discussion, because the will of the voters was left a big chunk of the responsibility on us to determine, and unfortunately we don't have a crystal ball, but I think from my perspective, we have to make sure that the actions that we take are bold enough to send a message to instill responsibility in our establishments, that this commission is looking to make a change in the way that we address these quality of life issues, in the way that we address our business model as a city. And unless we act boldly towards that, I feel that message won't go through. And so today I'm ready to say today that, you know, I want to see outdoors a full citywide closure at 2 a.m. I don't want to see, you know, a hotel with an exception to that. I want to see anything that is outdoors needs a full 2 a.m. closure. I believe that there's areas of our city where our residents' quality of life need to be protected. Areas like south of Fifth, areas like West Avenue, areas like Alton Road, areas like Sunset Harbor, 41st Street, and others. So we have to make sure that the residential quality of life in those areas are protected. I also believe we cannot hurt good operators at the expense of bad operators. And I think we need to determine, you know, those good operators based on physical criteria and performance-based criteria. And I'll be looking to our city administration, to our public safety experts, to our code enforcement and our planning experts, and helping guide us on what should be those performance-based criteria that we should be considering to determine what should be those establishments. And there's other things that I'd like us to consider. But for right now, that's where I am at. I am not opposed to having fully enclosed establishments outside of those areas that I mentioned. Having a license for extended hours. Do those extended hours have to be 5 a.m.? I don't think those extended hours have to be 5 a.m. I don't think it has to be 5 a.m. Based on physical criteria, based on performance-based criteria. But by the same token, I also think we owe it to this community and to our law-abiding businesses that if a business that is open till 2 a.m. continue issuing us problems and giving us problems, then we should be also more punitive on those businesses, because we have to send a bold and strong message, and that's my feedback sitting here tonight.
Commissioner Rosen Gonzalez.
Okay. Our biggest problem seems to be that we pass laws, and when we try to enforce them, we get sued and we lose these lawsuits. So, you know, we try to move toward a change. Get that. What if we pass a 2 a.m. across the board, but you grandfather in the 140 existing licenses that you have right now? Because that way, you kind of eliminate the lawsuit. Now, once those 140 businesses become non-conforming uses, what powers do we have at that point in time to remove the bad operators and take away those 140 licenses on the annual BTR basis? What would we have? How could we do that? Could we make them, if you want a BTR, you know, you have to sign a release, you're not allowed to sue us, you know, you can lose your license. I don't know. What could we do?
And Tom, I could address it. So what you're saying is adopt a citywide rollback to
That's
2 a.m.
Sending a strong message.
Grandfather everybody in. And just like I said earlier, that our strongest legal position is a clear 2 a.m. citywide. In terms of minimizing litigation risk, what you've just articulated is absolutely the least risky option. In terms of what you would do, though, is that you would adopt for those grandfathered entities, then you would make them eligible to obtain the 5 a.m. license, and then they can keep that license, provided that they comply with the terms, provided that they keep the security in place and they comply with whatever conditions you adopt.
Okay.
It's not grandfathered in terms of vesting. It's just you're just applying the 2 a.m. prospectively to prohibit any new establishments from operating or being eligible for a 5 a.m. license.
I mean, you could do 2 a.m., move it into hotels moving forward. It sends a strong message to anybody who wants to come here and open up a bar in the future. It's not happening. Now, those 140 licenses that we have, and I kind of understood what you're saying. We have to create criteria in order for them to keep their 5 a.m. license.
That's right.
But every single time that we have tried to pull a sidewalk cafe permit or somehow regulate or enforce these regulations, we get sued and we lose. So what's the difference this time from any other, Raphael?
Commissioner, what if you establish the criteria and the conditions, we are going to have to afford due process and also come up with whatever the administrative review process is, whether it is that you go to a special master for a suspension or for a revocation, or whether it's the commission or some other body. That's part of what you as the policymakers need to decide.
Could we have an alcohol review board that when annually they have to come before this board if they want to keep their license of the 140 grandfathered in licenses so that we don't get sued, and that board could be resident, I don't know, whatever the makeup is of that board. And I know that one of you, I think the mayor, had mentioned that in the past, having this type of board. And could that board be the deciding factor in you keep it or you don't? That way the residents can come forward and say, hey, we hate this place. This place is ruining our quality of life. It's an independent entity, and they lose their license because they're a bad operator. And that way, we are not cherry picking who gets to keep one, who doesn't. Is it in a hotel? Does it have bulletproof? That's a nightmare. And all of these performance-based standards, I also think the city will be absolutely incapable of enforcing. What do you guys think of my idea?
Commissioner, in a moment, I'm going to go through all the ideas, and I'll get everybody's views on them. Do you have any other additional questions?
Tom, a non-conforming use. You have a license, non-conforming use. You want to do some work on your property. What's the threshold percentage-wise of, you know, when?
If you have an existing non-conforming use, you cannot expand the non-conforming use, so you couldn't do
no
an
expansion.
Addition. You could do
what about renovation?
You could do renovations as long as the renovations stay under the 50% rule. You go over the 50% rule, your non-conforming use has to cease.
So no improvements on new clubs. Can we lower that threshold?
I believe that the commission does have the latitude to modify that threshold for the 50% rule.
We have to talk to Max about
you want to do more than, you know, you want to do some work, spruce it up, not happening. You want to keep your license, let it go. You know, I think, I don't know. I just think that a lot of these are going to be so complicated. It has to be across the board. But we are going to, I mean, I've already been, I don't know how many emails you've gotten about the lawsuits. And we lose those lawsuits.
Okay. Thank you. All right, let me just give you a little bit of mine, and then I want to try to get us into some area where we're finding some. So, look, we are not entirely like-minded as a commission. So I think that's pretty obvious. It's not a surprise, frankly, because, you know, we're different people. We have different perspectives. We all see the elephant differently. My view is a sort of I want to try to get us on the same spot, but I do want to tell you where I fall on this, which is we're going to have public hearings, Commissioner. We are going to have public hearings. But the public did speak, and even though they might have been different in different places, getting close to 57% of the public to say we want a change is, you know, despite the fact that the folks that didn't want a change spent over $1 million to convince them that the current business model is just fine, ought to give us some direction that we do need to do something other than simply something cosmetic. We cannot do something cosmetic. Commissioner, I appreciate the idea of keeping the 140 there, but I sort of feel like if we simply said we're going to keep everything that's there the same, then we have no expectation that there is going to be a change. Because, I don't discredit the idea. I just think that the public we need to do something. And I do appreciate some of you that are concerned that, well, the rush to do something, we don't want to just do anything that doesn't change anything. So I think we have to think about it in some ways. And for me, I think I try to look at this area somewhat organically. I believe that Ocean and Collins have become an incredibly underperforming area. I have lived here my entire life. I lived on Ocean Drive in the 90s. I have not gone to Ocean Drive in 20 years to really go there for the purpose of just having a night out with my family. Have not gone there in 20 years. And I suspect almost every one of our residents is just like me. That's all you need to know about Ocean Drive right now, because there are some wonderful establishments there. And the fact that most of them wanted to roll back to 2 a.m. on Ocean Drive should tell you in a very clarion view that there are proprietors in this area that understand how iconic, beautiful, and special and historic this place is. They just want the opportunity to elevate it and provide something that would be embracing to everybody. So for me, the first thing we have to do is give Ocean Drive and Collins the opportunity to fulfill its potential. Because frankly, if we did nothing, that area is so beautiful that it's always going to attract throngs of people. But we need to set a baseline, and I agree with you, Commissioner Areola, that we can't just do this, which is why we all, and I've done a lot of it, but you all have done equal amounts, have raised the standards for cafes. I have an ordinance that will promote mixed use in exactly these areas through developmental incentives, and I've asked Tom to not just do it for hotels, but to do it for offices and for galleries and for businesses and for commercial residential, so we create a true mixed-use vision of this area, which I think every time we've seen it anywhere seems to work. So we have other things to do, but we must give Ocean Drive and Collins, we must give this area, which is a magnet for so much of the disorder, an opportunity to rise and reimagine itself. And the only way we're going to do that is to stop the all-night hard party that has defined it. Because I believe there are amazing proprietors on Ocean Drive, and the fact that almost all of them want to go to 2 a.m. should be a pretty strong message to us that we ought to be doing it too. Who are we fighting for if not our residents and the people who want to provide a better product? Now, that said, that doesn't solve everything, because I sort of view this area from if you think about it organically, Ocean Drive and Collins is sort of the magnet for the 10 million people that come here every year. But it radiates into the other areas. It radiates into Washington. It radiates into the Flamingo Park area and even down to Alton. It radiates down to south of 5th. It radiates up to Collins Park and Lincoln Road. But if you look at the heat maps that we've seen before from the police, it clearly, the center of the disorder is this one little two-block area. So for me, what I want to do is I want to first, in Ocean and Collins, simply say, it's 2 a.m. And for the proprietors here, you know what we want. We want you to provide wonderful products, culturally diverse products, terrific elevated products, a great experience that sends to the world a message of what we want to provide as a city, the same way our museums and our promenades and our beach walks send a message as to who we are. We love our city. We love all these incredible amenities, and that's what we want to do. So we need to do that there. Now, when the area is outside, and by the way, we also need to do it there because policing this area has become problematic. Our police are up all night long in this area, and they're having to put their hands on people too often. It's dangerous to them. It's dangerous to the community. It's dangerous to people who have been drinking or smoking and lose control of their better senses, or worse, they're just criminal in what they do. So for me, we've got to first take care of the center of the activity and then deal with the radiated areas outside, which, by the way, are all residential areas. South of Fifth is a beautiful restaurant district, but it is a residential neighborhood. It's got an elementary school. It's got families. It's got people walking around. So we have to do something there. We've got to do something. Now, Washington is a bit of a commercial area, so we should accept that. But certainly Flamingo Park is a residential area, and Alden is the same. And even Collins Park, which is one of the most beautiful emerging, not emerging, it's emerged as one of the most beautiful areas in our city, has also those same challenges potentially. And we certainly don't want to radiate that conduct because we're controlling it in Ocean and Collins out to other areas. So I think this is not easy, but what we should be doing is starting with Ocean and Collins and really saying, this is what we're going to do here. And then using the levers, as Commissioner Ariola called them, to control the areas beyond there. And I know some of you are prepared to just say, forget all the levers. We're just going to do a blanket 2 a.m. end of story. Not sure we have the ability to do that. But I also recognize that there are lots of restaurants and other and hotels and things like that which could survive. So I took the liberty, while I've been sitting here, of actually putting together the chart of these ideas. PJ, could you put it up? And I'm sorry I just did it. So I did it as we were speaking. But these are the options. One is hotels. Two is hotels and restaurants. Three is hotels and restaurants and clubs. Four is hotels plus some hotels and restaurants and clubs. And five are exceptions based on either performance standards or additional performance standards on top of those exceptions in areas two and three. And I wanted to put that up there so we as a commission can start to see the menu, the Chinese menu of options that are available to us. And I think we need to know where they are. Now, Tom, could you come back up? Because I did have some questions about the mechanics. A lot of what you put in here were your best judgments based on what other cities do, talking to your colleagues like police and, of course, the manager and her folks. But a lot of this can be toggled, like, for instance, hotels. A pool area in a hotel that doesn't reach out into the street probably you could view as enclosed within the hotel structure, correct? You know what I mean? In other words, the fact that it's not, that it's open air doesn't mean it's not part of the hotel physical plant.
I would probably characterize it as more enclosed within the property.
Okay. And I like when you use, because you use language which that Raphael probably enjoys because it's actually legalistic more than it is me just talking. So the second question I had is, for instance, in restaurants, you could figure out, there are ways to determine whether something's a restaurant or a bar or entertainment. In other words, there are metrics because of the license or because of the percent of food versus liquor sales that the state uses to make those assessments?
Yeah, we have currently, we distinguish between a standalone alcoholic beverage establishment such as a bar or a nightclub and a restaurant. And one of the things that we had suggested as part of these options is that we would need to further define what constitutes a restaurant so that it really truly is a restaurant and not a bar or a nightclub masquerading as a restaurant.
Okay. Now, with regard to the number four, PJ, keep that thing up there, please. The hotels plus some restaurants, clubs, and hotels. Well, I guess it's hotels plus some restaurants and clubs, actually. I didn't do that right. But in that one, we could have a discussion here, and you could figure out, in other words, you could do what is known as the MXC in one of them. You could do South of Fifth. It's a different district. CD2 is Washington, and Alton could be a different one. So I guess the idea is, in other words, if we wanted to control the radiated, you know, if we wanted to have different controls in different districts, that's what number four is, right?
Correct. Number four is basically defined geographic boundaries. So as proposed, there would be three defined geographic boundaries in the city where you could do a 5 a.m. exception, and then it would be up to the commission to decide what the performance standards would be in each one, whether there would be a distance separation, whether you would allow entertainment. But, yeah, you could set up rules within those geographic boundaries.
Okay, and of course, we talk about two and five. I hate to throw any a monkey wrench, but for one of those, we could do 3 a.m. if we wanted to. If we wanted to give a restaurant a 3 a.m. limit instead of a 5 a.m. in certain an area.
Correct.
Okay. And you picked these CD2 and CD3 in your number four based on sort of the how they're zoned right now in terms of whether they're commercial, whether it's mixed use and things like that.
Yeah, the reason that we had picked those areas, and I probably should have mentioned this in the presentation, is those were areas that we felt were very well insulated from residential areas. And so they were not mixed in with predominantly residential areas. They were areas of the city that were and are predominantly commercial in nature.
Okay. All right, so members, what I'd like to do is, I think it's important to try to get at least five votes on this. Honestly, I think that's important. And so what I want to do is I actually want to go down, and I'd like your thoughts on these four. PJ, I know I didn't do it well. Can you try to get the numbers there, even though it's obvious? But I'd like to get some sense. I don't think he's going to be able to, but you get it, right? What I'd like to do is get some sense from you. There you go, from you all, because I think staff has to sit back and figure out what they're going to come back with us at the next meeting. So they have to have some sense of where we are. And we cannot talk with each other than in a public meeting. And as I said at the beginning, this is not checkers or chess. You can change your mind. But some of you have already said where you fit on this. But I'd like to know where you're malleable in a sense that I think it's important to get five votes. Okay? And I want to get at least five votes because I think that's also probably a good thing from the commission's point of view, and it gives the staff some ability to figure out different ways to implement this. So if what I'd like everybody to do, if they're willing, is to sort of say where they are and where they're flexible so that we have some sense of this. I know it's not an easy thing to do, and I promise if you want to change your mind, you can, and come back and say, I've been thinking about it, and forget it, I'm in the 2 a.m., club, and I'm not moving, okay? And that may be your case, but if you're flexible, we need to have a sense of that. I'm sorry to ask everybody to show their cards, but I think that we need to do that because this is a hard thing to do, and even if we agree on sort of where we fit in this or what we're flexible on, the staff still has to figure out the details, which are going to be very difficult because, frankly, some of these things we're talking about different areas and a different apparatus of rules. So let's try to give them, to what extent we can, some guidance. And PJ, leave that up there just because it'll allow us to sort of say where we fit, where we don't. And if we want one of those changed, because you say, well, I'd be okay with a hotel if it was a larger hotel, or I'd be okay with a restaurant if it was this. Let us know that, too, because I'm going to try to listen carefully and keep track. More importantly, Tom and Eric and Alina will, because they're going to have to produce something, and Raphael's going to have to write it up that is something we can agree on. I think our residents want us to, so let's get – so if you're willing to do this, I can't force you, let's do it.
Yeah.
Commissioner Samlin, you're ready to take your finger off the chess.
That's true. Well, you mentioned chess a couple times, so it's probably my turn. Thank you, Mayor, for teeing this up. Thank you for your leadership on this issue. I just want to make a couple comments. All my colleagues have made some very important points. There are no silver bullets. That's why we're doing all the different things that we're doing. We are at a transformational moment as to where the city goes. Are we a 5 a.m. town? Are we a 2 a.m. town? Are we the place where people come to do things that they wouldn't do in their own communities? In fact, in preparing for today's meeting, I saw a quote in the media today, and it's for spring break. And let's not forget that's just a couple months away. And I'll just paraphrase. Miami Beach, known for stunning beaches, all-night parties.
and the perfect destination for spring breakers who want to let loose. Is that what we want for our community? It is not what I want for our community. And I believe, in agreement with the mayor, that we have a strong mandate to proceed. Not only was it a 13-point difference, it was a 40-point swing over the 2017 election, where the 5 a.m. was preferred by 27 points, and now in this case we have 13 points. You know, in terms of exceptions and restrictions, I hear a lot. I'm going to have to really process some of it candidly, but clearly, the language did not obligate the commission to have exceptions or restrictions. It said that we would perhaps have exceptions or restrictions, didn't make any obligation. And someone once said to me, but Commissioner, the voters voted with that language in there. In my opinion, spending the time on the campaign trail, I believe the number would have been higher for the 2 a.m. without the exceptions and restrictions. So I really want to ground us. We can't go back and play the history, but I think a lot of the community voted against this proposal, despite the 10-to-1 spending, because they were afraid of this conversation. Now, they shouldn't be afraid, the fact that we see the world a little differently here, but they didn't want us to minimize what we were doing. So for me, and it's not up there, but my position is the default position. It's a consistent 2 a.m. across the city. Why is that? Well, one, amiss is to legislate something that we can't uphold. And our city attorney was very clear that that is the most clear and consistent position. Second, it's what our residents truly want. And we're hearing from our residents, whether it's SOFNR, whether it's SOBE Safe, we're hearing from our community, they want change. And I like what one of my colleagues said, that we want to send a bold message. And I agree with that. And that message, even for people thinking of spring break, is this is a great place for beaches. It's a great place for fitness, arts and culture. Yes, we want you to come and have a good time. But if you're coming to do something you wouldn't do in your hometown, then please go somewhere else. And sending that message, we're a 2 a.m. town. And when we add restrictions, exceptions, I got to be honest, I hope someone's taking good notes to how to sort through these different scenarios. You know, we don't want to do something that we can't legally defend, and we don't want to create something that the poor administration is going to have to somehow figure out how to implement and enforce. So I worry about that. While I understand the rationale about performance standards, what I would say is, unfortunately, a lot of the problem happens outside of the property owner's property. So even if you had a strong operator doing everything right till 5 a.m., what happens when the people go outside? Who knows how they're going to blow the horns of their cars? Who knows what they're doing? And so that's the problem I have with the performance standards. So to me, I believe the will of the voters is that we are a 2 a.m. town. I believe the most consistent approach, legally defensible, administratively simplified, is to keep that. So from my standpoint, I don't see it up
zero.
There.
You're the zero number.
Yeah, maybe the default option is how we could.
I'm keeping track.
Six.
Yeah, if we could do that. And I think we need to move expeditiously. You know, frankly, spring break is around the corner. If we get this right, we could have rules in place for there. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, so what we're going to do is, I'm keeping track. It's not hard. Only one person has spoken. So we'll start this way. You can't pick all of them, but I'd like to know what you're available for. Commissioner Samlin is available for option zero, which is no exceptions, including hotels or any of the others after that. All right, if anyone's willing, Commissioner Arriola, why don't you jump into the pool?
So what would be the polar opposite of what he just said?
Number five, performance standards
well,
only.
Then that's where I'd be. It's absurd to say that what voters really wanted was a 2 a.m. hard cutoff and that we should ignore the exception, because when we tried that last time, it was overwhelmingly rejected, right? It makes no sense to say that people would vote no against the 2 a.m.
because of an exception. That is biting your nose off to spite your face, because this at least gives us some leverage to do this, right? So, but if you really wanted a hard 2 a.m., but because of the exception you voted against it, that makes no sense. So, you know, don't mislead the public to say that they wanted more restrictions, and that's why it didn't pass by a bigger majority. That there's no logic to that. I mean, look, we have so many iconic businesses that contribute to the vibrancy of our community and the economic ecosystem here, right? I mean, you're going to shut down places like Live or Twist, you know, charming, you know, little neighborhood watering holes like Club Deuce or Ted's that have been here forever and don't cause problems. Like, that's what you really want to do. You want to not only throw all those people out of business, but all the businesses that rely on them and the tourists that come here and the residents that enjoy going to those places. So I will never vote for a hard 2 a.m. across the board. There has to be exceptions. That's what the voters voted for. So I'm the opposite of my colleague.
Can I ask you?
Yeah, where am I on this list?
Yeah, so for
I'm not sure that number five, the way I'm understanding it, is very workable. So I'm probably between four and five. I'd say I'm probably in the camp of four, as I understand it. Five would be something I would want to apply prospectively, right? So any new business, I don't want to see 2 a.m. be the law of the land forever and ever going forward. I think if somebody comes in, an applicant comes in and says, look, I'm going to take over Club Mansion, which I think is vacant now, and I'm going to pour $10 million into it and make it a great nightclub that's going to attract worldwide attention, or you're going to have great events there, and we're going to have great security, and we're going to take care of everything. Why wouldn't we want an establishment like that, right? So, you know, I want to make sure that we have the ability in our toolkit to allow businesses that come here and invest that want to stay open till 5 a.m., but with clear parameters that we would set forward. And then I think it's important to protect businesses that have withstood the test of time, have performed and never caused us any problems. There's no reason to penalize them. So I think, again, I want to start small, targeted, and then see how we're doing and then adjust as necessary.
Okay, I want to listen, guys. I don't mean to. It's okay. You know, you never shy from a direct confrontation. So, what I want to do with all of you is, because I want to make sure we understand something. Because I know we're. If you're zero, you're not moving from zero. But if you're five, there may be things short of five you're willing to consider. So, for instance, let's understand something. Hotels is standalone. Hotels and restaurants would be all restaurants. Standalone. Hotels, restaurants, and clubs, all restaurants and clubs, along with hotels. Number four is all the hotels as you've defined them. Come on up, Tom. Plus hotels, restaurants, and clubs in certain areas only. Is that so? Four only exists without two. And it's either one or four. And then five is either a performance-based approach, which I would not have, because I think it's just what we've been doing, or taking those performances, those requirements, and laying them on top of whatever our exceptions are in 2, 3, and 4. So, for instance, if one of the performance-based standards is you've got to not have code violations or you need an off-duty cop, that would be a requirement of the exceptions in 2, 3, and 4, I guess in 1 also, frankly. So it's only put in two ways because I think some of you actually, you, Commissioner Ariola, and I think Commissioner Richardson, wanted perhaps to consider performance-based standards as the way we did it. I think I oppose that. I think probably you don't have the votes for that. On the other hand, if we do approve something with exceptions, certainly those performance-based standards would be on there. So my question to you, because Commissioner Samlin made his position quite simple, is for you, I understand you would prefer the performance-based standards, but how do you feel about 2, 3, and 4? Would you do 2, 3, or 4, or all of them with performance-based standards? Or would it depend on it? Or 2 and 3 are all hotels and restaurants and all hotel restaurants and clubs. 4 is hotels plus some, I made a mistake there. It's not hotel restaurants and clubs. It's some restaurants and clubs.
Well, look, I start with I'm not against 5 a.m., okay? I'm against bad businesses that don't bring anything of value to our city other than a big pain in the neck.
And at times, some establishments are top performers, and then they change hands, they get sold, and then they become a nuisance, right? That's where the performance, for me, is really important, because we have to have high standards, I believe. Like, I would like to see us have fewer bars and nightclubs, but better quality, okay, right? So, and that's going to be a path. That's a multi-year path if we do this right, where hopefully 5 a.m. is actually the law of the land. You know, you can have a 5 a.m. and there's a path if you want to open a business to get there, but you have to be able to, you know, meet certain criteria. That's where I think I'd like to see us end up as we go through this process and we, you know, over the years tweak it, where if you want to open a nightclub and you're going to invest money and you're going to be a good corporate citizen, you're going to have security and you're not going to sell liquor to underage people, et cetera, great. You're welcome here. By the way, if you're 2 a.m. and you're doing that stuff, we should close you down, okay? So, you know, how do we get there? I don't like the broad-based approach because I think we penalize some really good businesses here that actually enhance the quality of life for our residents and for our tourists. They're places that people cherish, they love going to. I named some of them. So I'm trying to answer your question by telling you how I'm approaching this.
No, and I appreciate that.
Mayor, you know, and I don't know how we do it, because case by case is, I think, riddled with legal problems. Mm-hmm. Again, why I want to start small, right? Because I just think we're just going to get sued like crazy if we take too broad an approach. I'm fine with restaurants, standalone bars and nightclubs and restaurants staying open until 5 a.m., but they have to meet certain performance criteria.
So can I ask you, and I appreciate you allowing this kind of transparency. So number four will limit the restaurants and clubs and bars, but the restaurants and clubs to certain areas, all right? So the question for you is, are you open to limiting, in other words, saying in some areas of the city, they're not going to be 5 a.m., and in some areas of the city, there may be restaurants at 5 a.m., but not clubs. In other words, are you open for that?
Yeah, so I think that's intelligent and smart urban planning.
Okay.
Right? I think one is you get rid of the nuisance to commercial areas that abut residential neighborhoods, and I think from a police resource perspective, you can optimize where you're putting your resources to patrol these areas. So I do think that's smart to do it in certain areas. You know, talking about the entertainment district, which is, you know, unfortunately a disaster for us, if we could start all over and do it right, I would say that's where you want all your 5 a.m. late night activity, and you got to sort of have good parameters for who can avail themselves of a 5 a.m., and you sort of put them all together in a certain area within that entertainment district, and then you flood that area with your police so that, you know, you can properly patrol it. But, you know, we haven't done that, you know, for whatever reason. But I do think that if the approach going forward, we should only allow it in certain areas, because I do think that that's just better urban planning. I think some of the areas that Tom put in his what option was that one? Three?
That was option four. Option four was the option that talked about specified geographical areas.
Yeah, the ones you listed, I think, are a good starting point. You might, you know, I may want to think through and tweak it a little bit, but I think the areas you identified are probably good starting points.
Commissioner, so you understand impact in option four, it's 43 establishments, and in option three, 132 establishments would be exempted out.
In other words, four is two and three, and one just, well, actually two and three, because hotels is the same in all of them. But it, what it basically is saying is that we are not going to have in certain areas late night anything. We're only going to have it in the areas you've lined. And I would just finish with is that it seems to me, Commissioner, and don't, I know you would never let me put words in your mouth, okay, but you seem open to four if it were the right places. The right geography, is that, are you open to it?
Yeah, I have voted in the past to close the loophole that allowed new businesses to open on West Avenue, Sunset Harbor, and things like that. I think that's
that's prudent, right? Because you don't want a proliferation. I think businesses, some of them were really good ones, started opening in the neighborhoods because the entertainment district got so bad that it's bad business to open in the entertainment district. So we've got some really cool little bars that open until 5 a.m., but they're in neighborhoods now because they wanted to go, you know, where a better crowd was going to go. And now that's caused other problems. I think if our entertainment district was, you know, better run, they probably, you know, I don't want to name names, but, you know, some of these really, I think, good little bars that open until 5 a.m. that give headaches to the adjacent residents went there because they didn't want to be in the mess of the entertainment district. If the entertainment district wasn't such a mess, I think they would have opened there.
Okay. Thank you for that. Without putting words in your mouth, you've got a little bit of flexibility on four, but you're in five, as Commissioner Samuelin's in zero. Commissioner Richardson, you're never afraid. You're fearless.
Well, first of all, I want to set the record straight because you said that you thought I had advocated for performance standards in the past, and I've never taken that position.
Okay.
But if you're trying to sell me on it, I'm willing to listen to you.
I thought I had read that in the paper, but I apologize.
That was not in the paper.
Yeah.
I was asked that question by a reporter that's in the room, and I said, no, that's not where I'm at right now. First of all, I want to say Commissioner Fernandez, I'm not sure I'm quite where you are on outdoor, but you could probably pull me across the line. I have been very, very concerned about some of the things going on in the outdoor spaces. And so I have a lot of flexibility there. Your words were pretty clear, and I think you made a very good point. And I do think that we have some issues with outdoor, and so I certainly probably could be pulled over the line on that one because, yes. So one of the things that's really important to me is consistency, because I don't think it's fair for us to pick winners and losers here. So whatever we're going to do in terms of what a venue looks like, I believe should be applied across the board within that geographic area, at least, because I don't think I should pick bar A over bar B or vice versa and pick a winner and loser. So that concerns me.
Excuse me, if I could just when you say geographic area, you mean like the MXC, CDC?
Yeah, so for example, if we say that we want to have a certain rule in the MXC, so then I don't want to start picking winners and losers within the MXC. I want to say, here's the standard for the MXC. And if you fit this standard, so for example, if there's a bar that's fully enclosed, then all fully enclosed bars should have the same rule, whatever that rule is going to be. And I think everybody knows this by now, that when I ran for office 2 years ago, I ran on a platform of 5 a.m. I believe 5 a.m. is appropriate, and I have long advocated for that. I think, as Commissioner Arriola mentioned, we need to move slowly and deliberate. However, the people have spoken, and I believe it's our obligation to listen to the people. But the reason I asked the question about geography is because I think we can listen to the people when we see where the votes came from in the 25 precincts. It was absolutely clear what's going on. And so almost all of the areas that voted for the 2 a.m. option are areas where there are no clubs, there are no bars, there are no late-night establishments. And so I would never want to give them one because they don't want it and it's inappropriate. And I don't want to say that across the board, but I pretty much remember where the votes came from in the 25 precincts. So, but I want to be consistent on that. So... In terms of your options that are here, I am probably closer to where Commissioner Arriola is in that I want to be somewhat surgical. I want to be responsive to the voters, but I don't believe, and I think I've said this publicly as well, the problems that we had last year during March were not caused by what's going on in the bars and clubs, because all of them were closed. The problem was $59 airfares and illegal Airbnbs and people buying their alcohol at CVS and Walgreens and standing in the middle of Ocean Drive drinking and doing their drugs. So whatever we do, you know, it may give the public a perception that we're addressing the problem, but the problem was not the bars last year, and that's well documented. So I would say, Mayor, I'm probably some combination of this. I am open and flexible. I don't want to have any bars and clubs in areas where there was a clear will of the people that they don't want that. The Venetian Causeway said they want 2 a.m. Let's not put a bar or a nightclub in the Venetian Causeway, right? Let's not do it. Sunset Harbor has already voted that their cutoff is 2 a.m. So, you know, let's say Venetian Causeway will not have a nightclub, okay? I agree with that. So I do think that if there is an element of performance standards that we should consider, because I think performance standards are very difficult because they can be somewhat subjective, and then we get tied up in litigation. But if you want to think of, in terms of proactive performance standards, I do think that if we're going to allow certain venues to have 5 a.m., that we ought to tie certain elements of their prospective performance to that. For example, security. If a venue is of a certain size, I think that we should require a certain amount of security if they want to enjoy that privilege. And so that's an area where I would be looking at that. So I would probably be closer to the four category with, like I said, some of these performance perspective performance area thing, like security. I think it's tricky when you start saying if you have a code violation, we're going to take your license because then we end up litigating those issues. And I don't like picking the winners and losers, and so I don't really like to have the hotel only on the ocean front. It doesn't make any sense to me why we wouldn't include an ocean a hotel on West Avenue over the bay. I mean, that's, again, picking winners and losers. And I don't know why we would say a hotel of 200 as opposed to 198 rooms or 150 or even 50 rooms, quite frankly, because then we're going to set up a situation where one hotel can advertise that you can stay here and get a drink till 5 a.m., but the hotel across the street, you can't get a drink. And that may have an economic impact. So I hope is that fair?
I have a question. I appreciate what you laid out. My question is if you, I understand where you begin, but this is a lot of compromising going to be going on here.
Yeah.
And by the way, I think there's a caucus that's far in the other direction. So if we want to get more than four votes for this, we will speak to the folks that have different views. But my question is, number four is essentially 2 a.m. across the board with exceptions for some restaurants, clubs, and bars by district. So perhaps not MXE, but perhaps CD2. And perhaps only restaurants in South of Fifth in that district. So my question is, are you open to that consideration? I understand, and the same goes for Commissioner Areola, that it may totally depend on the details of that, but I just need to know if you're open to it, because at the next meeting there's going to be an ordinance for us to consider, and I just want to know whether the toggle points of that need to provide something to you that you may say, okay, I could support that, and so would it depend on that version, or are you inalterably opposed to four, no matter
its... Well, it's a great question. I don't think the geographic areas in four would be something I could support. So, for example, I cannot support having a club that looks like XYZ on Washington, but not having the same club that looks like XYZ on ocean. I think that's picking winners and losers. So I don't share the view that it would be okay to do 5 a.m. on Washington, but not on ocean and Collins. So I would not support that. And what I would do is look at specifically at the areas where, and especially the areas where the people in those areas voted to maintain the status quo, or at least didn't vote to push 2 a.m. So, for example, the areas in North Beach, it was very clear the people in those areas voted in a certain way. And I think it's because they're living there because that's where they want to live. And they want the life that they have there now to be similar. And also in the South Beach area. So I don't think it should be limited just to those areas, but I do think it can be limited to certain areas, which would be larger than what was, as I understand it, what's in option four right now. And the other thing I would say is I would say outdoors on the table for, you know, maybe 2 a.m. for outdoors, 2 a.m., and maybe there's some exception to that. But, you know, at a certain point, take it inside.
Commissioner, to that point, I just want to be clear that every option that we proposed assumes outdoor at 2 a.m. I'm not sure that that's clear to everybody.
That was not clear to me, so thank you for clarifying that.
And Commissioner, what you're saying, if you don't support the geographic areas in option four, then that's really more much like option three in terms of you know the types of establishments that would be eligible for a 5 a.m. license. Although you are saying that in certain geographic areas, like south of 5th and maybe a few others, that you would support a 2 a.m. But just to be clear, because option 4 would only permit a 5 a.m. license in those limited corridors.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I think that is too narrow in my view right now. And also I'm not prepared to say there should not be any alcohol sales south of 5th. I know that the homeowner association sent that. There are a lot of small businesses and others. Big Pink, I can think of just one, has been open for years, and there have never been any problems with that establishment. And so, you know, I think we have to look at that carefully. Let me, Tom, I have one more question, if the mayor will allow me.
Sure, go ahead.
Are there any distance separator limits for alcohol right now in the city?
Yes, we currently have distance separation requirements from schools and houses of worship, as well as from nightclubs. There are minimum distance separations for nightclubs from other nightclubs.
So there is a separation between nightclubs?
Correct.
Right now. What about local community bars or local bars?
No, only nightclubs.
Okay. That is another thing that I would be very interested in, because I do think there would be benefit. As Commissioner Areola mentioned, if we were reimagining the entertainment district, we might want to try to just to say put it all there, but we're not. And so that's something I would be very, very interested in terms of perspective, is having a distance separator going forward.
Thank you. Okay. Let's go to Commissioner Miner.
Thank you, Mayor.
How you doing?
Good.
Good. I'd like to hear from you.
Well, 56.5% supporting 2 a.m. is a significant number, and that's my default line. Although I did say at the time when we put that voter referendum on, I was pretty clear that I was against the way we worded this and putting in the exemptions. The way we did, I think, I know we're limited in the amount of words we have, but I believe we could have been a lot more clear, and we wouldn't even be having sort of this debate right now. And I think we did ourselves a disservice, and we could have had better guidance from our residents. But this is where we're at. It was an interesting debate between Commissioner Samuel and Commissioner Areola on how the vote would have gone. I heard from many, many residents that they were voting no because they didn't trust this commission and they felt that it was very political in the way the wording was used, that we're going to get to pick winners and losers. That being said, I actually also agree with Commissioner Areola. That was the wording, and we can't sort of figure out what the voters, I mean, would be reading minds. So 56.5% is the number that I'm using, no matter what I think it might have been. I'm in line. I think we need to consider the geographic area because, as Commissioner Richardson points out, there's some clear voting trends, but I also think we're hearing from our residents, our neighborhood associations, and our residents loud and clear from certain areas. It's very clear where there are certain areas of our city that don't want this, and it's having a negative impact on their quality of life, having especially the outdoor venues that are not enclosed. And to me, the more we bring back, for example, I've quoted this before. There was a survey done, the last one I think we did in 2019, Ocean Drive. The question was, what's the four most frequent places that you visit in Miami Beach? This is to Miami Beach residents. And Ocean Drive was eighth, which is interesting. I don't know the answer, but my speculation is if you ask somebody who didn't live in Miami Beach or who lived out of the country, and you ask them what's the most popular destination in Miami Beach, they'd say South Beach or Ocean Drive. But that's not the reality. And I think if we were able, and this is what we're trying to do here, amongst other things, if we're able to bring our residents back to the area, to Ocean Drive, it's also going to bring tourism and a lot of economic positive economic results as well. So it can happen. We can do it. The question is how. So the one thing I think we should have performance standards, but I am hesitant to have an ordinance that is based on performance metrics. Because I know, Rafael, you told us not to consider the litigation, but I can't avoid my opinions on it because I just think we're setting ourselves up. If we think that we're going to be able to go in and enforce it, and one enforcement is always in a difficult aspect, and then to say that we're going to shut a business down, it's just, as you said, Commissioner Rosen Gonzalez, it's tough if not impossible, which is kind of sad actually watching some of these decisions. Here we are, a legislative body. We spend months speaking to our residents, listening to concerns, drafting ordinances, coming up with metrics, and then we have a judge who doesn't even live in Miami Beach, who's not even speaking to constituents, who's not seeing firsthand what's going on, and then we get decisions. And that's not to say that we should be as a commission. We should do anything that's arbitrary or capricious. Obviously, if that's the case, we should be shut down. But it's very distressing to me that we can't even enforce our own laws. And to me, we have to separate that out because it's not going to be successful. So where I come down is geographic areas. I'm okay with enclosed to limit the quality of life where it's going to spill out and have that impact on residents that we're seeing and hearing loud and clear from our residents.
So I feel a little bit like Phil Donahue, to those of you that remember. That's a four with the right limitations, geographic limitations.
Okay. Quite a few limitations.
No, by the way, and the trick is going to be the details, but you get what I'm trying to do and what I think we need to do, so I appreciate that. Okay.
I just have a question for Tom.
Sure.
Actually, it's a question about alcohol delivery, package store delivery. I know I had a legislative item on that. Can you tell us where we're at with that? And because the law was that you can have deliveries 24/7 of alcohol. And my concern is that if we move back in a big way to from 5 to 2 a.m., that model doesn't get replaced with something else, and then you have these deliveries to hotels and Airbnbs of alcohol. So if you can just tell us where we're at.
The ordinance that you sponsored, Commissioner Minor, would require that the delivery of alcohol that is ordered from a package store coincide with the hours of operation of that package store. So if the package store has to close at midnight, their deliveries stop at midnight. If they have to close at 8 p.m., their deliveries stop at 8 p.m. Second reading of that ordinance is scheduled for next Wednesday.
Okay. Thursday.
Thursday.
Thank you. Thank you for that. All right, Commissioner Rosen Gonzalez, you game?
I'd like us to do something that creates a change but doesn't create the scenario where we're being sued. And then a judge does reverse this, and then it's lawsuit after lawsuit. I suppose that if we're going to do exemptions, and I think here's what I would be open to. 3 a.m. across the board, no exemptions, because that's a clean cut for everyone. Or maybe 3:30, because between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. you kind of hit 3:30. And you do that across the board, and it's a start, and it sends a message. No new licenses. All new licenses, 2 a.m. I would also, I have heard from associations like South of Fifth, I know that they are upset about certain establishments in their neighborhood. It's hard to keep everyone happy and do what everyone wants and at the same time send a strong message. I do agree with you, Commissioner Samulin, that these exemptions are going to be a mess. So I'd be willing to split the hours and do somewhat of a rollback to start off, but it's not the 2 a.m. that the voters voted on, so I wouldn't be respecting that at the same time. And if we're going to go for what you call the menu of options, I suppose I would go for number four. Okay. Number four?
Would you
know?
Take...
You know, and I just hope it's fair to people, and I want to make sure that certain neighborhoods, you know, people, I've had people ask me, could we look at certain neighborhoods and see if there were more residents than tourists in a certain neighborhood, and then you do the 2 a.m. based on that calculation, and that might work. I don't know if that would be a fair calculation or if you've thought about that. I do know that there's, I know what these are. The one on Washington Avenue is an exemption for example, Twist. And then you've got Normandy Drive, and that must be on the rocks. So I understand what these places are, and I've spoken to these people, and I know we want to do a change. But I think that you guys should consider doing something that that equally across the board without these exemptions, because the exemptions are where the problems lie. Once you give an exemption to one person, every 139 establishments now have grounds to sue. So I think that's what the problem is.
Okay, Commissioner, I need, if you don't mind me asking, is it all right? But, you know, we have to figure out where we lie. I don't know, I haven't talked to everybody about it, but I suspect 2 a.m. is going to be the time, not 3 or 3:30. So my question is, are you open to considering either 4 or 0 or 1?
I suppose then I'm at option 4.
Okay. All right. And by the way, and again, in fairness to you.
Possibly 3. I mean, depending on what, you know, between 3 and 4.
Okay, 3, for the option for 3 is a 2 a.m., however, with the exceptions citywide for hotels, restaurants, and clubs as defined. 4 is with some restaurants and clubs. In other words, all 4 does is take the exceptions from 2 and 3, the restaurants and the clubs, and simply limits them to certain areas and prohibits them in most areas. So what you're basically, so 4 is the, would be a 2 a.m. rollback with limited exceptions for restaurants and clubs and hotels. But the restaurants and clubs are in certain geographic areas. I think the hotels are pretty wide based on room size. At this point, you suggested oceanfront, but obviously if we wanted to include any hotel that size, we doesn't have to be oceanfront. So in other words, 4 is 2 a.m. hotels plus in a couple districts, restaurants and clubs.
No, I guess it would have to be number 3 then, number 3. Hotels, restaurants, clubs. And that would be across the board, and that would be a bar. So a bar like on the rocks,
okay,
in 71st Street, that they would get to stay open. Because why is it geographically a number 4 if it's located in on a property fronting Normandy Drive? I mean, this is getting really, really...
It's not easy.
No.
I'm just
it's
afraid
like eeny, meeny, miny,
that
mo,
there's
but
confusion
I'm gonna, you know,
because the impact is so dramatically different between 3 and 4.
Yes.
3 and 4 are not similar. 3 allows for a very large number of exemptions, almost 130 plus, whereas 4 only allows for 43 establishments to be exempted. They're very different.
Yeah, three is all restaurants and clubs is defined with whatever standards we have citywide. 4 is simply restaurants and clubs till 5 a.m. in the areas that are set forth. So it's a it's limited by districts based on the district profile, but is prohibited in all other places. And by the way, and is limited in the places that it is because it's not anything. It's just the things that have been defined. And my assumption is whatever we do would have those performance standards on them anyway. So there'd be,
It's totally unfair, though. I mean, it really is. Option 4 is, I mean, I can tell who you're giving the exemption to.
Well, in fairness.
And why is that fair? How is that ever going to stand up in court? Like, why are we even being offered that option that you know is not going to be legally defensible? Why would we even offer that?
Let me say this about 4, my understanding, because I've spent some time talking to staff and our lawyers about it, is that 4, the standards are the same throughout the area. The reason why it's some places and not others is that those are commercial districts where people have already set up shops, which is why they're in there. There aren't that many clubs and all-night clubs and restaurants in outside of those areas, and there won't be if we pass this, but they will be limited to that area, but not all areas, like not the MXC in 4. But I get it. You're 4.
I would do 4 if you add in, I guess, every – no. I have to see what the final ordinance
that's
is.
Fair.
I think this is starting – it gets very confusing. Yeah.
Before we finish up, I recognize Commissioner Areola for a question.
Question for you, Tom, or maybe Alina. Just I think I know the answer, but when you apply the geographic standards for 4 – and compare it to 3, because you go from, I think, 130 establishments to 43. Where's that drop-off happening? My guess is it's happening in a certain geographic area. Is that part of the MXC? Is that Ocean and College?
Yeah.
Is that why?
And it's important to note that we base this on existing establishments. So if you went the geographic route, that doesn't prevent new establishments, provided they meet the minimum distance separation
right.
requirements. You may see some leave,
yes.
You may see some added, but as the manager correctly stated, by limiting the geographic area, you significantly reduce the number of establishments.
Yeah, a new one can open up in the permitted area. Yeah, so the big cutoff is because we're excluding Ocean Drive and Collins.
Right.
If you move from 3 to 4, yeah, that's what I figured.
And Tom, it would be helpful, I think, if you explained why the recommendation chose those particular commercial districts.
Yeah, we identified, and this is important to point out, the three areas that we identified, and again, we identified these areas for purposes of fostering this discussion, but they were identified because they were fully commercial districts and because they were well insulated from residential districts. By fostering this discussion, the whole purpose was to if there are other geographic areas that the commission would like us to consider, we can certainly do that. But the whole rationale behind identifying these three areas is because, one, they were commercial, and number two, because they were well insulated from residential districts. That does not mean that we cannot consider other geographical boundaries.
Or, for instance, we could say in Washington we might have the clubs, south of 5th we might not. In other words, you could just do the restaurant exception.
If you wanted to create a geographical area, say, south of 5th or in another area that was restaurant only, yeah, we could write something like that into the rules.
I guess the point is 4 is hard to do, but it's also the one that provides a little. Okay, Commissioner Fernandez, you have been alone.
Here's
another question.
As we progress in this discussion, Tom or Alina, if you want to bring in somebody else, give us some advice in terms of urban planning. I don't really have an answer. I have a view, but it's not firm. When you do the distance separation, I know we already have laws on the books, but, to properly plan is we're thinking about having fewer, establishments open until 5 a.m. and maybe limiting them by geography. Is it better to have them clustered together or spread out? I can make an argument both ways, but I think that's something that we should be ready to discuss
as we start changing the landscape of where these establishments are going to be, because I can kind of argue both sides of that. And I think, you know, whether Tom, you have a viewpoint or you want to bring in some expertise, Alina, to help us guide ourselves, because I think following whatever we're going to do with this, we should start thinking about, do we want nightclubs together? Do we want them a block or two apart? Again, I can argue both sides of that, and I, you know, don't know which way I would lean.
Okay. Commissioner Fernandez, you've been quietly there at the end, not being noticed, so let's hear from you.
I think I pretty much said a lot of it at the very beginning.
You did. You did. You made it very clear, but I'm not sure if you're 0-4 or both.
So I'll tell you, and thank you, Madam Manager, for clarifying that the options we have before us are all for a hard stop at 2 a.m. for all outdoors. That, to me, is a priority, that citywide we have a hard stop at 2 a.m. for the outdoors. For me, what is also a priority is to ensure that areas with high concentration of residential also has a hard stop at 2 a.m. for indoors and outdoors. What does that mean? South of Fifth. That means West Avenue. That means Sunset Harbor. That means Alton Road. That means 41st Street. That without any exceptions, there be hard stops there at 2 a.m. I think for other areas in the city, we need to be clear, you know, are we going to allow an establishment that has violated our land development regulations to have an exception for extended alcohol hours? I believe that should not be allowed. Are we going to allow an establishment that has had noise violations to have extended hours for alcohol sales? I believe that should not be allowed. You know, are we going to look at the call for service history for police? And I think that's important to look at as well for this. And that's why I feel strongly that in addition to physical criteria and ensuring that we only allow this for fully enclosed establishment, we get feedback from the administration on performance-based criteria to ensure that only the top operators are allowed to continue past 2 a.m. if we're going to allow this. I don't know if maybe Tom or someone could tell me where I fall then. Having said
I'll
that,
I'll tell you. I have a well. First of all, the performance-based standards we can overlay. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I mean we can overlay those over if there are exceptions. I guess the question for you is, if we had a citywide exception, a 2 a.m. No more alcohol. Would you entertain exceptions? Because it sounds to me like you would not entertain restaurants and clubs citywide you might be a four depending on the details.
I'll tell you a problem that I have.
Yeah.
To me, oftentimes I see restaurants and nightclubs and some of these other uses as synonymous.
That's what?
As synonymous. Because we have some restaurants that call themselves restaurants. But if we go over there and we see how they're behaving, they're acting as nightclubs. And if we think that they're acting as restaurants, we're pulling the wool over our eyes. And I don't want to grant someone an exemption based on them calling themselves a restaurant and us licensing them as a restaurant. But then when we go out there, the impacts that they are causing to our city and to our residents are that of a nightclub. And that's a big concern that I have.
Thank you. So you're zero or four, but not a hard four. Is that fair?
I think.
By the way, this is helpful. Go ahead, Commissioner.
Yeah, can I come back in? I'm very comfortable at zero.
Yeah.
But Commissioner Fernandez said a couple things that I think are really important. You know, restaurants till 5 a.m. And I know I'm getting older. I had a birthday since we were all last together. But you know, the restaurant till 5 a.m. I wonder about that. I would stand by no exceptions, but boy, I would stand twice as high about preventing any exceptions in residential areas. I couldn't believe that we'd be talking about West Avenue or South the Fifth open till 5 a.m. So I think that is not in the case. I want to throw a couple other new ideas in the mix. Number one, I would like to suggest that exceptions sunset. I don't think we can sit here today and decide what the world is going to look like. And I think, you know, 6 months or a year, it sunsets and comes back to this body, because this is sort of complicated stuff. I'm hearing a bunch of different opinions, and I think it would be important that we get it as right as we can, but that we have the opportunity to sunset. And the other thing I would just want to get on the table is how we address, if it is the will of this body, within a group of categories, if we have bad actors. I mean, imagine what the voters would say a couple months after this vote, and they've got noise violations, they have people who aren't adhering to the performance criteria. So what might we do is consider using processes like our CUP or the planning board, because if someone's allowed to operate, but then they go in the bad actor category, I don't think we want to wait a year for that. I think there needs to be short term. So, Mayor, I'm comfortable with the position zero. I'm especially very opposed to anything in the residential areas. I would argue for a sunset of any restrictions. And then I think we need a way to quickly address bad actors, maybe something like a CUP.
Mayor.
Yes, Commissioner Fernandez.
This year is fine.
No, you're a commissioner.
Alex is fine.
You're a commissioner, Alex.
You know, one of the things I just want to put out there, I was debating whether to mention this or not, but I do think certain exceptions are important. And I think, as I look at this more, I think I'm, you know, probably more in the option three. If I had to select from this menu, probably more option three with, you know, hard stops for the neighborhoods I mentioned.
That's option four. See, option three is citywide restaurants and clubs can do it in hotels. Option four is restaurants and clubs limited to certain areas, not others. So
but I'm not sure, you know, I'm not sure if, you know, I want to do it based on criteria. I don't want to say necessarily, you know, limited to these locations. I want to say there are locations that I want to see a hard stop at 2 a.m., but for the rest of those areas, I want to see physical criteria, performance-based criteria.
That's four.
That's four? Okay.
Yeah, because, by the way, physical areas are our districts, which pre-exist and I think probably are the defensible way, according to staff, to do it. In other words, you can't just say these three blocks. You'd have to say the MXC or the CD2 or something like that is the best way to do it.
But when I'm talking about physical criteria, I'm talking about soundproofing and
Performance based standards. Yeah.
It's both. He's finished up.
But yeah, I mean, the exceptions and the performance based standards, in some ways, we've talked about it in our meetings, become a little bit of the same thing. But the performance based standards can be added to the exceptions in four, because you can say we want all of this in this area, because we now know in CD2 on Washington Avenue, there are going to be some clubs and enclosed restaurants, enclosed clubs and enclosed restaurants, and therefore we want them to have performance standards. So the exceptions apply. The performance-based standards can apply to the exceptions. There are some folks that would prefer to have performance-based standards as the rule, but I don't think there's anything close to four votes for that. So the performance-based standards would simply be laid upon whatever exceptions in the limited districts where those exceptions exist. So what you would have working is perhaps on Washington Avenue, enclosed restaurants and some clubs that would be allowed to be open to 5 a.m. But however, there would be performance-based standards on those exceptions, so that if you're a club, you might have to have double doors, you might have to have off-duty police. But the exceptions only exist in the areas where we have approved them. And those are limited. And if you look, and I think Tom and Eric gave you those limited areas in the memo to you. It has those areas that Washington Avenue and, and some other areas. And by the way, to add on, you could say, I don't mind clubs on Washington, but I certainly don't want them south of 5th. Maybe I don't mind restaurants if they're enclosed, but I don't want more than that. And to your other point about restaurants versus clubs, I think you, in the some homework, sorry to give you homework, but I think if you talk to Tom and Eric and you guys get together, you could probably see that the state and the and our city has regularly tried to figure out what is a restaurant and what is a nightclub. And in fact, when they, I recall when they did the smoking prohibition, they had a requirement that if it was a percentage of gross was food versus liquor, it was considered a restaurant, and if it was a, higher than that, it was considered a nightclub or a bar. So, but those
to
exist.
Me, to, but Mr. Mayor, to, respectfully to me, the restaurants and nightclubs is like hemp and marijuana. You know, it's kind of hemp and marijuana. You know, the challenges that we face that, you know, sometimes,
by the way,
you know, they get disguised as each other. That's one of the challenges.
Well, and that's a fair point. Between our next meeting, you should explore that with them because maybe you'll come back and give us a way to proceed.
I'll tell you, I feel that with what I've expressed, I feel that I'm falling more in the three range, in the option three range. I'm not sure I'm ready to limit this right now to those areas that are in option four, and I think I need to probably sit down with Tom and look at that a little bit more. But I feel like I'm aligning more with the option three with some of the other criteria I've mentioned.
Okay. All right.
Mayor,
yeah, go ahead, Commissioner. I'm going to close it, bring it in for a landing in a moment.
Just want to follow up. See, I think that the challenge that, as I heard Commissioner Fernandez trying to get himself in the right bucket, right, I feel the same way because what I was expressing was that parts of 3, 4, and 5, and that I think that what you were saying is that the overlay probably would be on top of something else on the performance because I don't think that there's going to be the will just to do performance only. But the challenge I have with both 3 and 4 is that with 4, I don't agree with the zones. So I would either have a 4A where I would give you a lot more zones to be expansive, or I would go to 3 and I would give you a 3A and I would say, okay, instead of having the universe, I would take some of the areas out because I don't think that you know, in those highly residential areas, we should have establishments, all establishments. I kind of am intrigued by your concept of no clubs, but maybe restaurants. The other question I think that's going to be difficult with this on if something is a restaurant or a club is that how do you measure the percentage? Because it's quite natural in the late night for the food sales to drop off, even though the kitchen is open, because people are dining at an earlier hour. So do you evaluate the percentage based on a 24-hour period and get a percentage? Or if you're going to look at it, okay, what's the percentage of food sales at 3:30 in the morning? I can guarantee you that pretty much no one in the city is going to be a restaurant, right, because food sales are going to drop off. Maybe French fries, I don't know. But so I would say that if you're making notes, I'm a 3A in that I'm a 3, but I do think that there are some areas that would be worthy of exclusion.
Okay. First of all, to go to the order, I want to just finish, close up and give us our homework and next time we come here. So first of all, what I propose to do is try to create with staff, an ordinance that's going to come from the staff that captures this. And instead of, I mean, you know, our rules are a little bit, our tradition's always been whoever presents it controls whether it's amended or not. I don't think that should be the case. I think whatever is going to be given to us is all of ours to consider and amend as we vote. So at the next meeting, you're going to have an ordinance. And I will tell you where everybody fits right now and where I fit.
When you say the next meeting, you're talking about January or February?
I don't know. When can we get it written by? Tom, what are you doing for the next?
I can tell you it's not going to be January 20th.
Okay.
And maybe not February, whatever that
is. I'd like to get it in February if we can. I'd like to get it in February if we can. Or I'll call a special meeting just to consider it, if that's I'll tell you what, we'll call a special meeting just...
We currently have, I think, two meetings scheduled in February, so maybe the second meeting in February.
And, Mayor, what about having some public hearings before that?
We can do that, but I don't want to just kick this thing. What we can do is I'd like to set it for a meeting. And, by the way, they'll produce something, and we can have a public hearing if that's what everybody wants. I mean, I think the public has... We've had an immense amount of weighing in on this subject, including a vote, including a full citywide vote on it. But you're right that the details of it are not insignificant. And what we can certainly do is I'd like to have a meeting just on a single issue of considering an ordinance. We can talk about when it's going to be, but I think it makes sense because, by the way, otherwise it's going to be at a commission meeting and you're going to just take all that time up on this. So why not just... I think that might be easier on your staff than trying to take over a commission meeting with this issue, which would take 2 or 3 hours and may end up, being a time suck for everybody. So we can decide that after the meeting, and I'll consult with you, Madam Manager. Where we are right now on this is the following: we got a couple folks who probably would just prefer performance-based standards or something like that, maybe just one. We've got one gentleman who's ready to go hard 2 a.m., and everybody's going to bed. I would just say that the only reason every time you mention nobody eats after 2, I'm very close with an Argentinian family. And by the way, and they always want to go out for dinner, and I laugh because I am sleeping 3 hours before they're eating, but that does happen. That said, though, I think that where we're really going to be is probably 3 or 4. I don't think, by the way, personally, and I'll just throw it in, that exempting all hotels, restaurants, and clubs citywide does anything. I think that would be, I think nothing would change. And although I appreciate Commissioner Ariel's point that maybe we should move everybody into one area, we sort of did that. I think, Tom, what did we call between 9th and 11th Street?
The Cabaret District.
We created a Cabaret District, and I think when I looked at the heat maps, that Cabaret District, you're right, attracted virtually everything bad that was happening in the city, but it radiated out everywhere. So I don't know that I would support a Cabaret District. I would probably end up in 4, in large part because I would like to get consensus, and I think that's the most likely place where we're going to reach consensus. I would just say to everybody, anybody can, at least not anybody, because there's, I think, at least 4 people who want to do something serious in terms of rolling back, and there's 3 that would like to see less of a rollback. I can tell you, though, that all of us can scuttle this if we are so iconoclast about what we want that nothing happens. I want to do something that's significant, that has, I hope, 5 votes, and that will have an impact in a way that changes things. So I would never support 3, I think, in large part because I do not believe Ocean Drive. I think we have to reimagine that in that MXC area. I think if we want to make it a cultural district, if we want to make it an Art Deco district, if we want to do all that, then we have to say we're going to quit the Bourbon Street feel and we're going to change that dramatically. So that's my personal feelings. I know many of you or some of you may disagree with me, but I couldn't do 3 for that reason because it would exclude every hotel. It would essentially bring almost everybody in who's in there now, which sounds to me like not a significant enough change to what we have. It's almost like grandfathering them in. So I would want 4 because I think that's where we could get 4 or 5 votes, but I don't think really that clubs south of 5th make any sense. I would be open to enclosed restaurants with certain requirements south of 5th, but not, you know, maybe even 3 or 4, but I really am worried about that neighborhood because I think it's become a residential community in the 20 years that we have been debating this. It's literally changed. So I would, and Washington Avenue I see somewhat differently than some of the other areas, but it would have to be strong performance. My goal is to tamp down the party in the MXE and to control how it radiates out into these adjoining neighborhoods because there are strong commercial areas right before them. And I think we can do that in 4. So at the next meeting, whenever that is, we will have something to consider that will be more specific in the 3-4 area. And I would just urge all of you to be somewhat open, and I will be open too, but we need to do something that is more than cosmetic.
You're not listening to any of us. I don't think anybody said they want option four except for you.
No.
Number one, no. And not only that, you have people on Washington Avenue that you're grandfathering and your buddies, but like not the ones on Ocean Drive. It's not fair.
Commissioner,
it's not fair.
Please don't interrupt. First of all, two people are at four because Commissioner Minor said he was four. Commissioner Arreola said he'd consider four. Four is a catch-all because it hasn't been determined. And I think everybody has – I didn't make that up. I listened to my colleagues say that. I'm trying to bring this in. And you don't need to accuse me of helping buddies. That's – we're having a very – let's just keep this as civil as possible because it doesn't help to make accusations that I don't know where they came from. So I will.
I just don't think you're listening to the body as a whole. You're saying, you know, here on Washington Avenue, it's fine. On Collins, between 20th and 24th, that's fine too. But it's not okay in this other area. And I just think that if you do something, it needs to be fair. And this doesn't seem very fair at all.
Okay, I'm actually following the what I've recited as four is literally what's in the memo that was sent by the administration. I haven't changed it. I've just said maybe I wouldn't want. They've given us different options. I'm not sure I want clubs south of Fifth. That's all I've said. And
we agree on that. That what? I think everybody in this body agrees on that. Nobody wants clubs south of Fifth.
I guess I'm listening.
But that's the only thing that I think we've all agreed on.
Commissioner Fernandez.
I'm somewhere between number three and four. I'm not completely out of the four category. Yeah. You know, for me, with number three, from number three, I see it as something that has to be earned. I don't see number three as something that you just walk into. And with very strict criteria. And that's why I said I want to hear from planning, from code, and from police on what that criteria for an earned number three would be. I don't think anyone should walk into it under the number three category. It needs to be demonstrated that they have earned it with strict criteria set under the recommendations of professional staff. So I'm kind of like under either three with very strict criteria or number four. That's where I'm at.
Yeah. I think I've got it where we are. I think we have four votes for three or four because it's pretty certain we may have even have five votes for four. Oh, if it's the right way, I don't know that we would have that many for three in its current form. But I think that any of us can almost not necessarily scuttle a result, but we certainly, if we're not cooperative, aren't going to get somewhere. I'm willing. I am probably, I don't know, I listen to Commissioner Minor pretty carefully, and my sense is that he's probably four or one or zero. You're not looking to open it up more. You're looking to contract it. And I sense that from him, and I've listened to him over the course of time in this, so I know that. And I know, Commissioner Fernandez, you are sort of in a similar way, but you want to make sure it makes sense in how we do it. And, of course, Commissioner Samuelson's all the way down at zero, so he's going to take anything that is the most change possible on this. So he's sort of easy to figure out that he may not be four, but if that's the only option that's there, he may end up supporting it as opposed to three or nothing. But I don't know. We'll see when we get to the meeting. But I guess my point is we all are going to have to come. We're all going to have to figure out how these islands overlap and that there is some overlap where we, at least four of us, and I'd like it to be five, agree. So at the next meeting, the staff will put together something that captures a sort of a 3-4 area, but that recognizes that there are different toggle points that we are going to have to vote on. And what I'll do at that meeting is hopefully we will have, from this discussion, highlighted and clarified what it is that we are still debating. And I will go down and we'll vote on each one of them and we'll come up with something. And I guess the only thing I would say is if you don't get exactly what you want, but it's better than nothing, you're going to want to vote for it. Because if we do nothing, we have failed. And if we of course, if it's purely cosmetic, we fail as well. So, voters want us to do this, but it's really up to us as the commission to do it the right way. And I and am intent on making sure we do, but I'll try to listen to everybody, and on the next meeting you'll have the ordinance. We'll have sufficient time. Hopefully we can get it out to the public beforehand so people can tell us either publicly and or privately how they feel. And then we'll have a meeting where we go down these ideas and we see where if we can come up to something that we can pass. And I'll set that meeting. Michelle or somebody will Raphael will talk to everybody to see that date is something we can all be at, because obviously we all need to be in attendance.
Mayor, I have a question, if I could. So you've mentioned a couple of times the 4 or 5 votes, and so this sort of ties into the question of, I think, a litigation matter that's ongoing where we're appealing in terms of a zoning change involving 4 votes or 5 votes. So, and I don't know that we know the answer to that question yet, but does this require 4 votes? Because it's a zoning change, right?
It's not zoning, and so our starting position is that this is a general conduct ordinance, a business regulation in the general ordinances, and that can be approved on a 4/7 vote. You're right that there is a matter on appeal. That was a very different ordinance that's being challenged because it was expressly limited to one district, whereas what you're doing here is a citywide regulation. So we feel confident that on a 4/7 vote that's the path. Of course, there is litigation risk. We expect challenges for everything that we do.
It may be citywide, but...
One thing, though, is that since everybody is almost unanimous about rolling back in south of 5th and perhaps other residential areas, I don't know if it's unanimous, but West Avenue, the Alton Road area, 41st Street, those we currently have LDR provisions that where we rolled back in the LDRs, in the land development regulations, we rolled back hours to 2 a.m. and exempted existing establishments. So we would need to repeal those LDR provisions, and that repeal would require 5 votes. So for those specific residential areas, you would need, we'll bring companion ordinances that would require a 5/7 vote. And then on the issue of, you know, because we need direction, and in terms of option 3 or 4, we could start, it sounds like the mayor is proposing that we start with this the option 4 that would only limit the eligibility for a 5 a.m. license to those 3 corridors. And so the entire MXC would be a hard stop 2 a.m. We could start with that and develop the record and bring that back to you. I don't know how we reconcile options 3 and 4. They're very different. We could prepare alternative to just 2 versions of the ordinance for you to consider. We've done that before. Unless there was a little more clarity today in terms of the direction, I think that would be helpful to let us know how you'd like to approach the draft.
I think that 4, my guess, would be okay in one form and not okay in another to some people. And I think they have to be given the right to see the version so they can look at it and see that. So it may be that we need a 3 and we need a 4 with a menu. And I would, my intention is to go down the line on those different items. Some of you may say, I want to give Ocean Drive more 5 a.m. I want it to be just like, in which case we'll vote on that. But this is going to be our product and no one else's. But I think you need to probably, you're right, Raphael, to have both of those paths, because I think we've made some way. I think you probably have a sense of where a lot of people are, and there'll be some discussions with the staff and our commissioners, in their own private briefings, where maybe you'll get a better sense of it. But my expectation is that we'll have both of them in some format, and that certainly 4 will have to do that. And, of course, the other thing you have to do is the performance standards. I think there was some agreement that they'd like to be if it's 4, there needs to be some performance standards to consider as well. So that would be part of 4 and also part of the menu. So it's not going to be a quick and easy thing, which is why I don't think we should make it a commission meeting. I think we should just have another special meeting to actually take action. And so, and hopefully everybody will be comfortable enough with this and the ideas, and if you can get it out there fast enough so that people can start to really meddle with it, I'm sure I know my colleagues well enough to know that they're going to want to look at it and figure out what they could do to it. But I would just urge everybody, there's going to have to be a level of compromise amongst us to get something. And you're right, I'd rather have five votes. I'd rather have six or seven votes, in part because I think it's always better to show a city body is like-minded on something, and whether it's a review in court or whether it's our residents, frankly. So I appreciate everybody's approach today. I think it was helpful. I hope it was helpful to you, Tom, and good.
Well, Mayor, I would say that I also would like to see a version three. So tonight, as I've listened to the numbers, I heard the number four a lot more than three, at least in your and I know that's where you are. If four comes back the way it is, you can go ahead and put me down as a no now, because I don't agree with the areas. And so I said that, you know, I'm in a 4A or a 3A, and that if you want to take three and start carving out some areas where we don't want it, I think that's a way to approach it. Or if you want to take four and expand the areas, that's another way to take it. But you and I,
sounds
you know,
like the same thing to me, but okay.
it is the same thing. You know, it's the same thing. You and I agree on so much, but this is an area where you and I just see the world differently, and that's okay. That's okay.
Commissioner, you're recognized.
I just feel like four is everyone gets 2 a.m. except for your friends because it's so random. CD2 district, but then you have something on Normandy Drive, and then you've got some people that you know between 20th and 24th. And this is why we get sued, because when you create a law, it has to be applicable. And I think, Mayor Gelber, that this isn't creating a change, because this is helping your friends and then giving the electorate something to nibble on based on their vote. So I just think that what you should do is recognize what this is, which is option four is friends of Mayor Gelber. Get an exemption, in my opinion.
No. Unfair, uncalled for, and absolutely devoid of facts, Commissioner Rosen Gonzalez.
It's so random.
That is not fair to the mayor.
CD3 district.
It's not true.
Guys,
between
guys.
20th and 24th.
Thank you. But
and then you've got Normandy Drive on 71st. It's so random.
Commissioner Gonzalez, Tom, did I tell you which areas to give me?
No.
Okay. I didn't even. First time I forgot Normandy was there. I don't know what restaurants are there. These were made by staff, Commissioner. Let me finish. I let you accuse me of things. I understand it's easy to make an accusation, but I'm trying very hard to have a civil discourse. I asked the staff to give us what they thought would be the right starting point for our information. In fact, until it came out, I had no idea which areas were in. In fact, Tom explained them to me, as he has to all of you, as did Alina. And frankly, that's just what they thought made sense based on the existing commercial nature of these areas. I'm assuming that's what you looked at.
Correct.
I heard here was Commissioner Richardson said option three. Alex, 3A. Alex said option three. I said option three, and I believe Commissioner Arriola was for more rather than less. And I think that is a majority for option three and not option four. So I just wanted to clarify in the record that I think the majority of people would like option four. I would like something that is changing and applies to everyone and not, you know, I don't think either option is fair. I think it should apply to everyone, whatever we do. But I definitely think there was a majority for three. I just wanted you to understand that when you're giving direction to write the ordinance.
We're not voting, and I appreciate everybody's cooperation. Let's get the three and four, as Commissioner Richardson points out. 3A more or four less become the same thing. But I think, you know, you have a sense of where everybody is, and I think we're going to have to vote on it. And my sense is that we're going to be somewhere between three and four, unless, of course, some folks who want more say, I'm not going along with it because I want it to be stronger, which they have a right to do. But we need to prepare that for everybody. Okay.
Mayor, one request. I think maps and visuals might help us a little bit. So I would just like to add that to the request so we can all sort of visualize what's in, what's out. I would think that would be helpful.
And by the way, why don't we do the? Why don't you have the maps with the zones? But also, Alina, you said you I've seen it. I think you have the thing where everything
we do.
Is.
We have everything GIS plotted, so we should be able to provide.
Okay,
that
let's
with
put
no
that
problem.
For the next one. I think you have enough of this discussion to come back to us with some version that we can then start to go down. And I hope we
two versions, maybe an option three.
Yeah, an option three and option four. But more importantly, because option four has is option three is basically everything accepted. Option four is exceptions in different commercial areas. I think we would probably want to know, frankly, we would want to know what different versions of that can be. Because, for instance, option three does not prohibit clubs or all-night restaurants in south of Fifth, right? Option three is just accepts those things.
As long as they're fully enclosed.
Correct. So we would have, I mean, if you do option three, you will have clubs south of Fifth. I'm pretty certain four of the people here don't.
We could make a motion right now to do hard stop south of Fifth, 2 a.m. right now.
We're not taking action right now. But the point is that you get a sense of where everybody is. So give us options that we can vote on to go through this. And I think we'll be able to get to something if we all work together. All right. Thank you all for the time. Meeting's adjourned.